2013, Sony makes moves to grab more indies, Xseed and Atlus combine, and we talk to John G., the creator of the Zelda documentary, It's Dangerous to Go Alone.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio for this May the 12th of 2013, episode number 504 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts. I'll be joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games and all things gaming and so forth, culture, blah, 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 lols. With my co-hosts, say hello to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Blar.
What happened? Did you eat at Panda Express again?
No, I have my own delicious food, but mm-hmm. This week's been shitty.
Well, that's why you're gonna lose yourself in a super fun, chipper episode of Orange Lounge Radio tonight.
I would try, but if I may make an announcement to one of our people in chat tonight,
yes,
for Name and Lights, we offer you our condolences. It's a very difficult thing you're going through.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's the extended family here at VOG, and, you know, we're thinking of you guys when you guys have really horrific weeks, too. But not having a bad week, I hope, is Techmaster Loki joining us as well.
I was having a great week up until lunch because McDonald's, and I swear, their quality assurance. I swear, their quality assurance is so bad, you'd think that they were Bethesda or something.
Don't say funny stuff while I'm eating.
Just kidding. No, Bethesda's awesome. They check their games way more than McDonald's checks what's actually in the bag. You know, I was like, oh.
That's your job. You're supposed to check what's in the bag.
I'm supposed to see the quality assurance. Yeah, that's how it works.
Don't you see the little sign as you're pulling out of the drive-thru? Check your order, bitch.
Here's what was missing. First off, they didn't give me sweet and sour sauce because we had a ton of nuggets. Then they forgot to give me the nuggets for the Happy Meal for Josh. The main portion of his meal is missing, and my drink.
It might be like a whole other bag somewhere, but anyway.
That's you got special.
You've got real problems, Loki. Real problems. Anyhow, also joining us, say hello to the chatters. We do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you can join us in chat at live.vognetwork.com if you happen to be listening to us live. Speaking of Bobby Blackwolf, we always do a little phone call with him at the end of every show. And I forgot during the phone call tonight because I got distracted by Loki's late arrival. but I forgot to wish Bobby Blackwolf a happy birthday.
Happy anniversary of your hatching.
That's right. His 29th birthday is today for like the 7th or 8th time. He actually has me convinced he's 29 now. He keeps lying about it every year. But we hope you have a great birthday. I wrote him a Commodore 64 basic program for his birthday.
Aww.
On Facebook. Yes.
Is it the bouncing ball?
I haven't done that in a long time. No, it prints happy birthday 29 times and then says, sorry, this program will only count to 29.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. Da-da-da-tsh. I need to do more programming. I haven't done a lot of that in a long, long, long time. So, but I'm too busy doing a radio show. What can I say? So anyway, happy birthday to Bobby Blackwolf. Also, a happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, whether that be, you know, having kids, having pets.
Kitty moms.
Mother figures, Mr. Moms, you know, whatever, grandmoms, moms-to-be, all those things. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And hope you didn't forget to call your mother.
Yeah.
So, well, or whoever is important to you on this day.
I texted mine today and tried to call her, and I sent grandmom a text. I haven't been super public about it, but my grandmom's in the hospital, which is why I'm going to Alabama.
Right.
So I sent my grandmom a text, and then I got a call from my granny after I left her message.
Oh,
so I've spoken with maternal people in my life.
Good.
And as has my husband. Mm-hmm. Spoken with his maternal figure and her maternal figure.
Now, I called my mom, but we're doing Mother's Day stuff tomorrow because my mom is very much like, well, not just because of this show. I mean, she would understand that, but I didn't take her out to brunch or anything because she hates the crowds at restaurants more than I do. She's like, I don't want to go out today. It's too crowded. Da, da, da. So we're going tomorrow. And you know where my mom likes to go? You know what her favorite restaurant is? This is so bad. You know what my mom's favorite restaurant is where she likes to go?
What?
Chevy's.
You know what?
Didn't I talk about that last week?
Don't knock on Chevy's because they have actually a really super good salad.
All right. Coming up later on the show in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Joe. He is the creator of It's Dangerous to Go Alone, which is a documentary all about The Legend of Zelda and Zelda fandom. And you can check out more about that on Kickstarter, or we've linked it on Twitter and so forth. And we'll link it when we post the show on Vogue and OrangeOnTwitter.com and all that, of course. We'll be talking to him just a little later, about 15 minutes. So to make time for the interview, I don't have a kickoff off topic tonight, so we're going to get right into how was your gaming week. So Dark Soccer, why don't you start us off? How was your gaming week?
Well, I've been trying to keep myself super distracted just because of all the stuff going on in my family. I've been playing Tomb Raider. I started Saints Row the Third and then promptly turned it off because I forgot that I had left it running while I went to bed because I kind of passed out from 4 glasses of umeshu. I've been doing a lot of drinking this week. I don't know if you noticed. My poor liver. I started playing Ragnarok Online 2 now that they finally got the shit working, and it's so cute, and there's like pourings and flips, and they're cute, and you can smack the shit out of them. You start off the game smacking the shit out of pourings. That's the best way to start a game, and those little bastards thankfully don't steal your shit anymore.
That's good fan service too.
Yeah. Oh, no, all the same animals, are all the same creatures and everything are there. You even, like, you remember me taking you on the vocal hunt in the old days on the old Ragnarok? The stupid grasshopper with the guitar? You actually get to fight vocal. You get to find all the same little rare spawns all over the place, except now they're kind of like mini-bosses. And some of the job classes have been turned into, like, the blacksmith profession is actually now a job instead of a fighter class. So.
Oh, that's kind of what they did in 14 a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I've been having a good time with it, and I think I'm definitely going to quit WoW just because I have not been having a good time in Oh My God Pandas. And that, and think about how much space it'll get off my hard drive. And maybe Diablo as well, now that I can keep Diablo for free because I've done my servitude to the Activision gods.
You've held up your end of the blood pact.
Yes, mm-hmm. Now my blood is mine. I have also been playing a game called Off, which I am now to the first like world after whatever Area Zero is. And it's weird, and I like it, except I wish I could play it windowed, but I kind of understand why you can't because of how the game is programmed. So it's very weird, and I suggest that everybody in the universe play it because it's fucking weird. And I'm going to go ahead and count this in my gaming week because I've been rereading like all of Homestuck. And so I've been actually playing through all the little mini Flash games and everything to the point that I'm thinking about reteaching myself Flash to do a few little, you know, mini games for Vogue. Yeah, just fun stuff.
Why
practice.
Not?
I am also, did I say Tomb Raider? Yeah, I was doing playing Tomb Raider or Lara Croft's Really Shitty Day, or what did Alan call it? Girl.
Yeah, girl.
Girl.
The game, girl.
And I'm also playing Mass Effect 3 again because I'm live streaming it so that I can completely make fun of the game live on air. And I have adjusted my time slot so that I do not overlap Loki's streaming.
Or anything else on Vogue, of course.
Yeah, screw all them. No, I'm kidding. No, I have been... Oh, did you change your picture to Clue?
Yes. Don't talk about what I'm doing on the computer.
Sorry,
over here.
Sorry, I like Clue.
Terrible radio.
I like Clue.
Yeah, no, I do too.
We need to do like an online tabletop RP Clue.
RP Clue?
Yeah, if it's like a Vogue thing. That would be hilarious.
Well, I've been working hard on the shadow casting here in Sacramento. So if you happen to be local, July 27th, I'm playing Colonel Mustard in Clue. It'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
Please, there are ladies present.
All right. Loki, tell us about your gaming week.
This week I played... What did I play this week? Well, I know I played Forza because we did in the Vogue gaming night and stuff. And we've been... averaging one extra person each week. So next week, yeah, that'll be awesome. Next week is going to be Grand Theft Auto 4 on Free Roam because that was Bobby's suggestion. I wasn't going to do it because, you know, I mean, I love Grand Theft Auto, but...
I actually have Grand Theft Auto 4 and I would have no idea what I'm doing, so that might be a lot of fun.
On 360?
Do I? Or do I have it on PS3? Isn't that sad? I don't even know. I think I have it on 360.
You should have it on 360. It's awesome. But... And my hindsight, I was actually going to loan you a copy if you didn't have it, but I forgot to bring one, so oh well. So yeah, we're going to be doing that. And then, yeah! So you'll be joining in. That'll be fun. We'll just be messing around, driving around.
You want to know what's hilarious about that? It's still in the shrink wrap.
That sounds like games in my house, Rob.
That is a crime.
You know what's funny? Alan has been like really into Grand Theft Auto 4 lately, but he's been playing it all on PC.
I know.
Yeah. And just the other day, I turned around to ask him a question, and I just saw some stripper, like, fully ass nude on his computer, you know, titties and hoo-ha and all that. And it was
PCs.
Like, what are you playing? How dare you?
Vag Raider.
So that'll be fun. I finished also Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, the campaign of that. So that was okay. And what else? I know I played some PC games this week. Well, I played one PC game, but, you know, I could say what it is, but I can't tell you anything about it other than what it was.
Stay tuned to VogNetwork.com.
Yeah, it's a game that's coming out next week. So, you know, it. You'll have to see what my opinion was.
That's right.
Tomorrow. So, yeah, I guess that was it.
That's it? My game of the week. A lot of the same old stuff. World of Warcraft, obviously, because unlike Darksakura, I still play an awful lot. Although I've kind of learned how to have fun by myself in a while because a lot of my friends are quitting left and right. But we still have the Horde House Guild, which is nice because I still see some people on there occasionally, so I can at least be a little social. And I even ran random dungeons with some people last night that I didn't even know. I just knew through the show guild. But I had fun. But I've been playing a lot more PvP, which is kind of how I've been entertaining myself. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm so scared of PvP because people are mean and so on. But I've just been having fun with it. And when people are mean, right-click, ignore, and I never have to see their ass again. It's awesome. But I've also been playing some console games. One of the new games I've been playing lately, we got an email the other week, I think it was last week or the week before, that said, Rob, do you ever actually play the games that you get for free on PlayStation Plus, and why aren't you talking about them on the show? Well, I did that this week. I actually got one of the free games on PlayStation Plus called Labyrinth Legends, and I think this game came out last year, but it's free on PlayStation Plus now. It's a download game on PlayStation Network. Best way I could describe it is it's a roguelike game, if you know what that is. It's like a dungeon crawler, and roguelike is because it's like this old game back on terminal computers called Rogue, which was a lot of fun when I was younger. But it's like that. You're kind of crawling around a dungeon, and it's a lot of puzzle solving. You know, there will be doors and keys and levers that open things and so forth, and monsters you have to kill, but maybe they keep spawning unless you do this one thing. And for example, you have to move blocks around in a certain pattern to open a door, but the room is filled with gas. So in order to be in there to move the blocks in enough time, you have to go kill this guy to get a gas mask, and then you only get like 30 seconds to do it. Otherwise, you got to go back and get another gas mask. So it's, you know, kind of one of those things where a lot of it is muscle memory, and like it'll take you forever to get through the labyrinth the first time, but then once you kind of figure it out, it's like you can speed run it, and then you might get your little bonus for getting the time, you know, trial unlock. And like each dungeon has 5 stars. And they're very well hidden. So sometimes there's like hidden walls and breakaway walls. So, you know, a fun little time waster. It's not a very long game from what I understand, especially if what I see on the main screen is the only dungeons there is. I don't know if they had planned to expand this through DLC or what have you. But for the price of free, being a PlayStation Plus subscriber, really can't complain. It was a fun little waste of time. So that was one of the other games I've been playing this week. Other than that, I can't really think of a lot. Virtual console stuff on Wii U has been my other little obsession. Playing Mega Man, Mario World, Kirby. Looking forward, because I hear Super Mario 2 is out next week, so that'll give me an excuse to play that again. And you know what else is out next week? Big deal, guys. Super Metroid. Yes!
Don't you already have Super Metroid?
I have Super Metroid on an actual cartridge for that Super Nintendo sitting right over there, but I will play it again on the Wii U because it's an amazing excuse to play through it again. And plus it'll be slightly different coming through the speakers on the little gamepad and TV. And I'm all about playing Super Metroid in as many different ways as I possibly can. So there you go. That was pretty much my gaming week. So, a little bit of housekeeping before we get into tonight's news and our interview coming up in just a few more minutes. I want to say, of course, if you're not following us on Twitter, you really ought to be. Twitter.com/OLR. And we're also on Facebook as well, where you can get the Fugal Question of the Week there and Google+. Facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio, all one word. Or you can follow us on Google. Google Plus, just search for Orange Lounge Radio. YYR in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, isn't Super Metroid going to be 30 cents? Correct. Yes, it is only going to be 30 cents. And YYR follows that up with, then everyone should be buying it. Correct. If you actually own a Wii U and you have a way to pay for things online, I realize not everybody has a credit card, but you seriously should go to Target and get the $5 card just so you can buy this game. And if you get it quickly, you can get Kirby for 30 cents still, too. Just saying. Koopa Kid Jeremy in chat room from Koopa Club, howdy, says Super Metroid should be purchased in every form. Agree. See? Jeremy knows what's up. He understands. Super Metroid greater than everything else. All right, let's get into some news. Let's do at least one of our news items real quick. Loki.
Except for Super Metroid. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Well, and I never got into Metroid Prime as much as I did the 2D new Metroids.
If they did a Super Metroid 2.
Well, I mean,
I understand the
Zero Mission and Fusion, kind
of. More of a like a remake, sort of.
If they did something in the Super Metroid universe on the 3DS, akin to what they're doing with Zelda, I'd have a nerd boner. I would. How could you not? I love the 2D Metroids, and the 3D ones aren't bad. I really enjoy the third game in the 3D series of. For some reason. I know a lot of people hated that one. And I even like the DS Prime Hunters thing. That was a cool little concept. It's not the same. Like, when you get all Doom up in here with my Metroid, like, it's not the same. It's not bad, but it's just not... I'm not as, like, fanboy as I am over something like Super Metroid. Anyway,
right.
News.
Anyways, so... Sony's definitely trying to get more indie games on their services, and one way they're planning on doing that is actually waiving the license fee for PlayStation Mobile. Now, PlayStation Mobile's on pretty much everything PlayStation, including Vita and PSP, as well as, you know, PlayStation Mobile approved phones, you know, whatever that might be. Originally, they were paying $99. Now, it's free, and they're trying to get... I guess the barrier of entry even lower than it was, which I think $99 isn't that bad. It's kind of like what it was with XNA. On top of that, they are adding an indie game section to the PlayStation Network. And you can actually find this. It should be available now. And they are featuring, you know, all sorts of games. A little bit, some of the bigger named indie titles like Retro City Rampage, Papayo, and Dyad, that kind of stuff. But definitely a step in the opposite direction than Microsoft is taking.
Do you think that this could be in response? Like, this is a place where maybe they see that Microsoft is vulnerable right now, having done, you know, what they did with XNA, where Sony's like, maybe we should just kind of pluck that idea and implement it.
Well, I think that they see a lot of popularity with, you know, the indie scene kind of rising up again with, you know, Kickstarter projects and just indie games in general, Steam Greenlight and that kind of stuff. And so if it's easy for people to bring that content that may be on PC right now to the PlayStation Network, then, you know, they're all for it. That's more eyes on the PlayStation Network and more reason to buy a console that, you know, plays those games. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Retro City Rampage, a pretty good example. Hotline Miami. I think that's coming or already out for the Vita and PlayStation 3. Lots of games like that. So, yeah, it's definitely good. You know, promote more people to come to your platform. Definitely better than go away.
YYR in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, personally, I think the removal of the $99 fee is just because they want to increase the number of titles available. Well, certainly. You know, anything to add value to the Vita, I think, is going to be something Sony's going to want to explore for real. So, YYR also follows that up with, Microsoft is actually paying $100 to anyone who submits a Windows 8 app through the end of June.
Yeah, but that's Windows 8. No one wants to submit a Windows 8 app.
Going back a story a minute here, because this is something we neglected to mention during Metroid talk, but Tiger Claw in chat says, Metroid Other M was more of a direct sequel to Super Metroid. I forgot about that. I think a lot of people do, because it wasn't developed by Nintendo. It was that whole Team Ninja third-party experiment thing. I didn't hate Metroid Other M as much as some people did, but obviously I didn't remember it either, so I think that kind of tells you where Other M is. So,
One more and Metroid Other M kind of sounds like, you know,
it was a weird title.
Coca-Cola Classic, you know, it's the Uncola or the, you know, not Coke, I guess that would be 7-Up or
titles are so important, and I think a lot of times people kind of forget that. I mean, I get that they want to get a title that really conveys the message of the story of the game or whatever, and I get it, but there's so many more people that would have just been like, oh, Super Metroid 2. Other M, heck yeah! You know, I think that carries a lot of weight that sometimes people forget about. Anyway, what else do I want to ask on the indies? Going back to the indies for a minute, do you think this is going to be embraced by the indie community? Not so much Sony, but do you see that people would be like, yeah, I'm going to develop for the Vita?
I don't know how easy it is to develop for the Vita, but I know like a lot of those Kickstarter projects you see. You always see Wii U as actually a platform as, okay, my indie title's going up on Wii U, which is kind of interesting. I mean, it couldn't hurt. I think if, you know, they are struggling with, you know, financing, then definitely removing that fee would help. Hopefully get more games on there. Hopefully that doesn't mean that's going to, you know, dilute the games that are on there, like, you know, with a lot of garbage, like indie games and stuff, but I don't know.
Sorry about the little ding-dong, by the way. My Facebook thing decided to go off, which I hate that stupid beep-beep on Facebook. You can't turn it off.
Heard what you're going to be able to turn or expect coming soon.
Oh,
auto-playing video ads.
I'm just ready to leave Facebook forever.
Can't wait. Hi, Dead Air. Sorry about that.
I've turned off every type of notification I possibly can for Facebook. And now they've actually started being able to bypass my ad block.
Rama in chat says you can disable it. Well, I need to do my more research. But I'll have to do that later because it is time to bring onto the show Joe. And Joe is a creator of It's Dangerous to Go Alone. It's a movie that is a Zelda documentary. And we're going to try to get him on the line right now to talk about this Kickstarter project and the movie, which has a trailer, which you can watch if you go over to the Kickstarter page and search for It's Dangerous to Go Alone, or if you just search for Zelda movie, you'll probably find it, and you can see the trailer and check out what this project is all about. But I believe Joe is with us right now. Joe, you there?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
I am excellent. Just enjoyed a beautiful day at the beach in sunny Sarasota, Florida.
I really appreciate you taking the time out to come on our show. I know it's Mother's Day and all that, and
Actually, we were planning to be on location in the Everglades, believe it or not, today.
Really?
But we had to cancel the shoot because it was Mother's Day and postponed. So,
we're out in California, so I associate everything Florida with Disney World. And four of my closest friends are all at Disney World right now. But not
That's
me.
Hilarious.
Not me. I know. All right. We're not here to talk about Disney. We are here to talk about Zelda. And,
yes, sir.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your project, Joe.
A couple years ago, I was actually playing with my production partner up in Baltimore when I was living up there. We were playing through Zelda 2 because we'd never beat it as kids. We just went on a mission and bought, you know, a bunch of alcohol and played through Zelda 2 and started conceiving of a documentary project that we could do about the ubiquity and cultural influence of The Legend of Zelda. And, you know, we had a lot of artistic friends who were either filmmakers or musicians or artists or writers or whatever that were all, you know, we all grew up together playing those games. And it was sort of our first opening of our imaginations was through the world of Hyrule, you know. And so it kind of planted a seed of an idea of, hey, you know, that would make for a cool documentary someday, you know, and all of our other projects are wrapped up or whatever. And a couple of years later, I found myself in a perfect time to film that exact movie. And I started putting the feelers out and seeing, you know, we started doing some research, started doing some legal work, and found just a trove of awesome people that are, you know, legitimate artists and filmmakers and out in Hollywood and illustrators for Google and best-selling authors and all these people that wanted to be involved and that were hugely inspired by the franchise. And we said, yes, okay, this is a really cool project that we want to do. So Yeah, that's how it started, and it's been very cool getting it up and running.
So hearing you talk about that and watching the trailer, would you say that this movie is less about necessarily Zelda and Link and the characters and the story, but it's much more about the fans and the culture?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's void of talking about Zelda, of course, but it's definitely more about not the fandom necessarily, but how it has impacted us in a cultural way in such a profound way that it's hard to even estimate. For instance, you know, as kids, we're all playing this child's video game, you know, and our parents definitely don't get it. We're 6-7 years old. We're playing this Nintendo game. And at that time, me and my best friend, we'd play through these worlds and, you know, all the way up through A Link to the Past, we were really passionate about it. We were really into it. And that best friend that I had growing up with that game, he now works for the military doing cybersecurity, like protecting, you know, our government accounts against the Chinese, you know, all that stuff that you're hearing in the news now. That's his job. And his first foray into technology was Nintendo games. You know, that was his first passion for it. So it's really interesting to see where all these, you know, Zelda fans, where that was their first big experience with art or technology or fantasy, where they've ended up and all the cool things that they're doing now. And they kind of owe a lot of their art or love for fantasy to that franchise.
So what notes do I play on the ocarina to unlock those big bank accounts? That's what I want to know.
That is an excellent, excellent question. I'll tell you what, that will definitely help fund. If you find out, let me know. The film will do a little bit better. So,
well, you know, I got to say, you know, my memories of Zelda myself, that Zelda and specifically that game was how I got to become more popular in elementary school. Because, you know, I got picked on.
You were that guy, too. People would come to you and ask you, where is that thing? And you would know.
Yes, because I wasn't good at sports or any of that, so I got picked on all the time. But around the fourth grade or so, when Zelda first came out, it was like, Rob, I know you do nothing but play video games. How do I find the fourth dungeon in the second quest? You know, or whatever it is. Like, it's awesome.
Totally confession, the first girl I ever had a crush on, uh-huh. The first phone call I ever got from a girl that I had a crush on, uh-huh, was about Zelda 2. She had questions about Zelda 2.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I feel you, man. I'm right there with you. And this is exactly the thing. Now, here you are doing a podcast on gaming. Mm-hmm. And really, if it wasn't for games like that, you might not be doing what you're doing, you know?
Absolutely. So absolutely.
It's fascinating to look at that and where people have come, you know?
So why did you turn to Kickstarter? You're asking for $50,000 to fund the project. So
yes.
What is the $50,000 for? And ultimately, why should we consider backing it?
Because it's awesome. No. Well, first of all, we're competing with, say, the My Little Pony documentary, which got funded for $322,000.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who aren't filmmakers or don't know, for those of you who are filmmakers, you probably know that $50,000 is a very, very small budget. That's a micro-budget production. For those of you who aren't into film or have never really worked on a film, first of all, a lot of that money for this project especially is going to go towards legal. We've already been working with a legal team because we want to stay on the right side of, you know, fair use, since this is somebody else's intellectual property that we're sort of focusing on. And so far, so good. I mean, this project, everything that we're doing stays on that side of it. But still, we need to dot our lowercase J's and make sure that, you know, everything's kosher. So legal is going to be a big chunk of that. But another big chunk is the travel expenditures. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a documentary where we're gathering a bunch of YouTube videos and we've got a podcast mic and we're talking over them and explaining the history of the series through gameplay videos or something. We're actually really trying to get some unique one-on-one personal stories with people like Howard Phillips, who started Nintendo Power, and the guys who did from Rainfall, that did that awesome April Fool's Day trailer for The Legend of Zelda for IGN a couple years ago.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. And these are all people that we've talked to that either we've already got interviews with or they're lined up. And there's the multitude. We're going to have way more footage than we're going to be able to fit inside of our, you know, 90-100 minute documentary. But we want to travel to these places and sit down with these people and see what they're doing now with their lives and find out how exactly Zelda has inspired them and how they've maintained with the series, you know, as they've grown up and become adults. Their children are now playing the games and see their impressions of it. And so because of that, we're going to be traveling a lot. And a lot of the money is for travel. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's also for the distribution. You know, once the film is complete, how do you get it out there? You know, we could just put it up on YouTube, but that's not the kind of film that we're creating.
You want something on a big screen.
The physical media, digital distribution channels, things like that. So that's where really the money is going to be going. And like I said, $5 million is a low budget film. $50,000, that's a micro budget, you know, documentary film.
Sure.
The reason I think we turned to Kickstarter, we really wanted to do a crowdfunding. We've actually got a couple of decent offers as far as people who want to back this project is, you know, in more traditional terms, like investment wise or producer wise. And that'll be awesome. And if the Kickstarter doesn't work out, we'll pursue those. But we love the idea of Kickstarter and this being a project where we're not trying to appease investors. This is a project for the community. Like, this is a project that belongs to the community. You know, everyone has a little piece of it.
Okay, awesome. Well, speaking of community, we have our live listeners assembled in the live chat room, live.vognetwork.com, if you're listening live on this Sunday night. And if you have a question for Joe about this project, It's Dangerous to Go Alone, the movie, send us a question, and we'll possibly read it and ask it of Joe.
Well, lately it's just been a debate over what the best Zelda game is.
is that what's going on in chat right now?
I side with the Link to the Past people.
Me too, but I know there's a lot of Ocarina.
Well, you know what's funny about that? I'm of the same school, and I just out of curiosity, how old are you guys?
37.
34.
Okay, I'll be 33 in a couple of days. So we're all kind of in that age where we grew up with all the Zelda games, you know?
Yep.
And I'm curious about the young people who started with 3D Zelda games. If they go back and play Link to the Past, do they have that same experience? But the one thing that makes me think that maybe they do, and we're examining this in the documentary too, by the way, a little bit, there's as much excitement and anticipation for the sequel to Link to the Past as there is for the Wii U Zelda.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's really telling as far as how compelling that game was and how the 3D element, it's awesome, and the visual element's great, but that doesn't make the game necessarily.
You know
that's
a good story makes a good game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Especially in that series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, though, that there has to be elements of gameplay that, you know, are just the right level of frustrating versus rewarding for your frustration make it feel like you're it gives it replay value. That's why I hate to say it, Zelda 2 for me, I learned how to be a potty mouth with that game.
I tell you what, we relearned a couple years ago when we played it through again. We were cursing like 10-year-olds. It was awesome.
You should hear me and my husband whenever that game gets broken out at my house. It's just like, but honestly, I think that Link to the Past took the formula from the first game that everyone seems to have liked so much better and really perfected it. And if they can keep that going with the sequel, then I think the sequel is going to be successful.
I think.
And then you might see a bigger console release following suit. And man, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the capabilities you'd have for a Wii U title to be gameplay wise more like Link to the Past, or those, I would be really curious to see, you know, where they could go with that.
I think Bobby Blackwolf, who's always on before us here at Vogue Network, he has a good comparison that probably applies here too, because he always talks about Final Fantasy and that your favorite Final Fantasy game is the one that was out when you were 13. So probably with Zelda, a lot of that's true too. Like, which one?
Yeah, your first experience in that universe, you know, definitely.
Yeah,
And it is something that we're examining. And actually, there's a writer, and I'm not going to talk too much about it right now. You have to just wait for the movie. But if we include his segment, he talks a little bit about the difference between cinematic storytelling in games and video games themselves, and almost creates two different mediums. And he talks about how console games currently, they're more like cinematic experiences rather than true game experiences. And there's a really strong divide between the two. And the more recent console games for Zelda and stuff and for everything have gone more towards that cinematic experience. But a game like the sequel to Link to the Past will be back to the center is not the story. The center is the gameplay mechanics. And the story is almost incidental. They still want it to be very strong, but that's not the focus. The focus is the game itself. It's a really interesting thing to think about.
Well, let me ask you this question, since I did bring up another franchise a minute ago that has a lot of fan passion too.
Final Fantasy, absolutely.
Well, why did you go with Zelda? Why not, you know, Final Fantasy, Mario, Samus? Why not another character that we remember when we were young? Why did you go for Link and Zelda?
I think we're going to talk, it's not just going to be about Zelda. There's also a lot that talks about just 8-bit gaming and why that survived in general, and why that there hasn't been a crash since the 8-bit era. You know, the gaming industry has grown and grown and grown. since then, that was the seed that planted it, you know, it became what it is today because of the NES era games. And so it's not just necessarily about Zelda, but that's the core of it, Zelda. And why Zelda over the other franchises? We just found that it was absolutely ubiquitous, just everywhere. And Final Fantasy, you could probably find the same thing for somebody who's in love with Final Fantasy. Myself, I just, again, finally played through all of Final Fantasy VI and beat it a month ago. I played it three times. The first time when I was a kid, I never beat it. The second time I was in college and I was using an emulator and that computer crashed. Finally, I beat it, you know? So I'm a big Final Fantasy lover too. But there's something about The Legend of Zelda that that separates it. And I wish part of the purpose of this documentary is investigating that exact question.
Sure.
That game, I feel like gaming wouldn't exist in its current form had it not been for the original Legend of Zelda. It might never have grown into what it is without those early franchise games. And I think that was one of the core ones. You know, we all, at 5, 6, 7 to 10 years old, we all felt this connection to that reality for some reason.
True. Let me follow that up with a comment from our chat room at live.vognetwork.com from MM2K, who says, I think you had to be around at that time to fully appreciate the impact of the original 8-bit franchises. I love docs like these because they truly underscore the impact these titles had on the gaming culture. Newer gamers should see when gameplay trumped cinematics and cutscenes. Dark Saga, you had another question for Joe?
I did, actually. Have you also been exploring, since you're looking at the general, I guess the genre of that type of game as well, are you also looking at like some of the, I would, for lack of a better description, clones on other systems like Newtopia that came out for the TurboGrafx-16? Even Legend of Valkyrie was kind of the same.
Sort of. You know, there's a point. Again, there's so much footage that's going to be shot for this documentary. We're going to have to really make some difficult decisions in the editing room. But we did. There was a point where we talked a little bit about like Chrysalis for the NES. Not a different system, but
yeah.
What
good game. Zelda
could have evolved into had there been another NES release. You know, and we talk a lot about that. We don't get too much into cross-platform, mostly because I guess we're all – and you were either a Nintendo kid or you were a Sega kid when growing up. And it sounds like you guys were both Nintendo kids, so you understand.
No. This one was a Sega, a Sega kid.
Leave the room now. You're no longer invited to talk. Sorry.
Oh, no,
out of the conversation.
No, she was a Sega adult, I guess.
No, my husband grew up with a Master System and a Genesis. Mm-hmm. I grew up with my NES and my brother's SNES. When they moved, I bought my SNES.
I see.
And then my husband said, look, Sega Saturn, and I forgot everything else existed. And now my favorite system to this day is the TurboGrafx.
Interesting. No, it's funny, and I love it too because it's so fun to see the people's devotion to their. When I was a kid, I was that, like, it was Nintendo. F everybody else. Screw Sega. No, yeah. No. I won't hear it. I won't believe. You know, and the fandom. It's not just fandom. It's like your family member. Like someone's talking bad about someone in your gang. You know,
it pained me when I jumped ship to PlayStation. It pained me.
Yeah, really.
It didn't
and you
pay
get
me
you almost are offended
one.
When your favorite releases aren't released on your console.
Yeah.
You know? Why? Why is Final Fantasy not on a Nintendo console anymore? What happened, you know? And
that was exactly it. Exactly it.
Oh, just look for the N64 demo. All right. And then you'll realize why.
Let me get to some questions from chat. We have a good one here from SSJ100 Matt, who has a question for you. What's Nintendo's stance on the project? Have they contacted you, or have you contacted them? And the reason why I ask this is because I noticed with documentaries on a specific subject matter tend to get some type of resistance by the original creators wanting to have their own stamp on the project or have it told in a certain light.
Right. Well, and it's a really tricky question. We have tried to reach out to Nintendo, but, you know, I mean, there's literally a million people per day with a project to try and reach out to Nintendo. So we do have sort of a second degree contact with Nintendo Legal, but we haven't really gotten any word back from them. Fortunately for this project, our project is not about The Legend of Zelda per se. It's not. We're not examining the particular artwork of the games or the stories of the games. We're really examining how the public reacted to that artwork and how they responded and how it sort of gave them their own artistic appreciation for gaming, or, you know, spawned their, you know, love for art or creativity or music or whatever. So in that way, there's not really a lot of legal area that we have to worry about with appeasing Nintendo, because it's not directly related to Nintendo. It's about Nintendo, this game's influence on other people. And we've been working very close with the legal team, making sure that everything sort of falls in fair use. And because of that, we have to make some executive decisions, which we wish we didn't. Mm-hmm. And there's things we want to include that are kind of gray areas that we're sort of having to scrape off. But all in all, I mean, we haven't run into any problems with Nintendo legal yet. We're hoping that continues. But even if there is a problem with Nintendo legal, it would break our hearts, because we hope that they support this project. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to stop the documentary, just because of the nature of the documentary.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because of course, when it comes to Nintendo, the fanboys are pretty infamous in their passion for a lot of the Nintendo stuff. And sure. Somebody linked me a thread on a Nintendo News website where the project got some cold reception. What would you say to people that aren't getting this or think that you're trying to profit off Nintendo's IPs?
Oh man, there's so much stuff I wish I could talk about right now, but I am unable to talk about it until the Kickstarter campaign is complete. Mm-hmm. Because of Kickstarter's legal. I promise a lot. There's been I don't mind if people are criticizing the take on the documentary. They just don't like this or think it's appropriate. They don't like me or my voice or my style or the filmmaking, or they thought that the motion graphic title at the end was cheesy or whatever. I don't mind that kind of criticism. I've been doing film for a long time. I'm used to people liking it and people hating it. I don't like the people who think that we're profiteering off this project. We're probably not going to see a dime from this project. Mm-hmm. I can't really go into much detail beyond that, but I will say that the profits beyond production costs will not be going to us. That's all I can say about that.
Okay. Without.
As far as the people who don't like the style, I mean, there's people who want to hate things on the internet, that they see something, they're worried that we're going to destroy their childhood. But for every one of those people, there's probably 1,000 people that have contacted me and said, thank you for validating my entire childhood. You know, so that's my fiance can attest to it. The first day I saw some of those negative reviews, I'm like, why? No, I'm trying to do something. You'll like it. But after that, I kind of, enough people prompted me that, hey, no, man, you got to finish this. I really want to see this, that it kind of made me feel a lot better about it. And I think people will enjoy it.
Well, you know, there's an old saying we have here at OLR, and it goes back to when we first got our first one-star reviews on iTunes and so forth, when, we're paying out of pocket to do this show. And it goes, haters gonna hate.
Yep.
That's what they say.
But at least they're not telling you to get back in the kitchen.
That's right. Well, and there, if you do something that is successful, and if this turns out to be successful, there are going to be people who just hate it just because it was successful too, mm-hmm. or that maybe they didn't think of it first, or that they would have done it a different way, and we'll accept that. This is going to be our story in the way that we want to tell it, and we hope people like it. And if they don't, they don't need to watch it. They don't need to buy it. They don't, they could bash it all they want. But I feel like there's a good amount of people that do like this idea and want to see what we're coming up with it for. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you one more question on a bit more of a positive note, and then maybe if there's one or two more from chat, I'll try to squeeze those in too. But
sure.
What do you hope, on a more positive note, when people watch this movie and the credits roll, fade to black, what feeling do you hope people walk away with after viewing your movie?
That's a great question. I really hope that I got a feeling that, the vast majority of watchers are going to be people like our age that grew up with the entire series. Those are the people that it's really sort of designed for, and they're going to feel validated. They're going to understand a little bit better this undefinable connection they have with that franchise and why that one above all the other ones, like you said, why not Metroid? Why not Kid Icarus? Why not, even Super Mario Brothers? Why is there such an emotive connection to The Legend of Zelda? And I hope this helps them feel like they're in good company, especially the people that aren't like the super hardcore Zelda nerds out there that are just kind of passive adults now. And they're looking back like, yeah, that really did inspire my life and why. And I'm hoping they leave with that.
Awesome. Well, speaking of inspiration, Tiger Claw in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, I wonder if The Legend of Zelda has inspired people who work in the entertainment industry, be it in movies or television, besides in gaming. Well, you work in movies.
Yeah. Well, no, we've got one Hollywood writer that is very much backing the project financially and has agreed to be in it. He has requested that I not talk about that too much because he's got another Kickstarter campaign going right now. So he doesn't want to split. But no, we actually have some people in Hollywood that we'll be talking to in the documentary. Like I said, the people that work at Rainfall that did that cool IGN trailer. So they're gonna be in it, and also some gaming companies that are more prevalent in today's market. We actually have an artist that's a new artist at Blizzard. Who's going to be chiming in about the direction of art and games and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking to some people that are currently in the entertainment industry.
One more question here from YYR in our chat room, and this one might be a little bit tricky, but it's fair based on Nintendo's actions in the past. Sure. If you go forward with this and Nintendo gives you a cease and desist right before you release, but all the money's been spent, what happens then? Is that?
Well, yeah, concern? I mean, it's... I can't say it's a 0% threat, but we've done everything to minimize that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the U.S. has some great fair use laws for documentary and filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We're pretty well versed in those and having done documentaries in the past. And we worked with a legal team for about 6 months before we even considered that this was a realistic project that we wanted to attempt doing. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really, really working hard to stay on the side of fair use. And like I said, in some cases, that means we had to scrap some of the ideas. Mm-hmm. But even if they tried to slap a cease and desist on us, which, like I said, I hope that they end up in full support of the project. Mm-hmm. But even if they tried, they really wouldn't have a lot of legal background, legal backing in the way that we're telling this story. So, you know, we're working really hard on that. I can never say it's a 0% possibility, but we're being very, very, very careful about that. The best that probably would be able to happen was they'd have to say that this scene and or that scene would have to be cut from the film. And aside from that, the film would be definitely still produced.
Gotcha. Well, you know, when I think of a movie like King of Kong, which obviously Everybody knows with documentary and gaming, and Donkey Kong was a Nintendo game. And that movie happened, so...
And that was filmed without Nintendo's, you know, consent, at least originally. I don't know if they ended up gaining it, you know, in retrospect.
Everybody trying to beat that score.
Well, not to mention all of the other footage of Midway games.
Yeah, there were
and Namco.
Other things in that, too. It wasn't just
Donkey
Kong.
And I encourage anybody who's interested in doing projects like this to check out the fair use laws and see how they protect documentary filmmakers and things like that. You know, part, like, one of the scenes that's difficult is the scenes from like the Symphony of the Goddesses. Mm-hmm. But we got full permission from the creators of Symphony of the Goddesses. We had great sit down interviews with those guys. We were able to film the orchestra. They told us that they have permission to extend permission up to 2 minutes of filming for us. So we could film and use 2 minutes of their footage in the course of the documentary. So, you know, there's things like that. Like, yeah, there's imagery shown on the big Jumbotron behind the orchestra playing Zelda themes, but they were able to grant us permission to use it. There was just that stipulation. So, again, you know, the capturing of the imagery at that point was incidental. It was commentary on the music going from 8-bit chiptune to full-on orchestration, and because it's commentary like that. I mean, if you really look into the fair use laws, you'll kind of see how that works a little bit better. And anybody who's interested in doing a project like this, I encourage doing that and really studying it and getting with somebody who knows entertainment law before you try and take it on.
Well, Joe, you're very passionate about this project. I can hear it, and I can tell that you're a longtime fan of gaming and so forth, and I really wish you the best of luck with this project and getting funded. Anything else you want to say? You want to tell the listeners one more time how to check out the project and what it's all about and consider funding?
Sure. A couple more things I'd love to talk about if you can give me just a couple more minutes.
You got it.
If you guys go to www.thezeldamovie.com, if you're on a computer as opposed to a mobile device, there's a nice little 8-bit game that is the navigation for our site. It's kind of fun just to play through. A lot of people have, and you get to a win screen, and you get to see 2 extra minutes of the film. But yeah, if you check that out, that'll also lead you. There's a link there to our Kickstarter, link there to our trailer. So www.thezeldamovie.com. And the only other thing I wanted to talk about that we haven't been able to show yet, but we're finally able to sort of talk about, the main way that we want to distribute this film, we're going to have more traditional channels. We've got a company that's working on digital distribution through online sources such as iTunes, and we want to distribute Blu-ray and DVD and stuff. But the main way that I really want to distribute this is there's actually going to be a playable game, which will be sort of metaphorical of the adventure through which you can sort of play through a non-linear version of the film and find different interviews and all kinds of bonus material. And we're going to try and make that available definitely for iOS devices, probably for Android, and something that's a standalone Mac and PC game as well. And that's not going to be like the 8-bit game on the site. That's going to be a very unique digital experience inspired by the gameplay and mechanics of original Legend of Zelda games, but resemble and look more of a contemporary modern video game. Hmm. So we hope that that's the way most people watch it. That's what it's intended. That's how it's intended to be watched.
Well, that sounds like a cool little extra. And I think I saw some rewards in the Kickstarter have to do with being a part of that game.
That game or the 8-bit game that's going to be on the site for the duration of the film. Yep.
Nice. Very nice. Well, best of luck to you, Joe, in the project. And thanks for sitting down with us today. You know, I hear that our pal Bobby Blackwolf here at the Voice Geeks Network, who did a story on this before, might be in the movie. So...
He was actually out at one of our first filming experiences in Atlanta, and we're going back up there in June, and he's been a very strong proponent of the film, which I appreciate. That's awesome, you know, and it's great to know that as a fellow gamer and a fellow Zelda freak, you know, that he supports the project fully, and absolutely, so that's awesome.
All right, well, we support you too, so best of luck to you, Joe. Thanks for...
Now, where are you guys at in California?
We are in Sacramento, California.
Love Sacramento, man. When I get out there, I'll make sure to look you guys up.
That is amazing that you've actually heard of Sacramento, because most people are like, it's the capital.
I used to tour with a rock band. Sacramento was one of my favorite towns when we traveled. So
we have a great support of the indie music community out here. This is where Warp 11 is from. That's
Hey, my friend's husband went to school with the lead singer.
Oh, nice.
And I used to work with their old drummer's girlfriend.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's also a small town. No, all right. All right, Joe, you take care, and thanks again for sitting down with us tonight, and best of luck on your Kickstarter, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Take care.
www.thezeldamovie.com for more information on It's Dangerous to Go Alone. Loki, did you enjoy hearing what that guy had to say?
Yeah. The only thing, I was kind of combing through the rewards, a little disappointed to see that there's not a wooden sword. As a reward, like an actual sword,
like an
made
actual
out of
wooden sword.
I mean, it wouldn't be that hard. You just take a couple 2x4s and slap it together. I mean,
all right. Well, just kind of fun. Maybe in the future, maybe you'll hear this back and think about adding something like that. All right,
a little hard to ship, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And some people frown on sending weapons in the mail. Anyhow, let's move on with other video gaming news tonight, from Zelda and the great 8-bit games of yesteryear to a very modern Diablo 3 and the modern problems that come with a game like that. You know, Blizzard put out a new patch 1.08 for Diablo 3, and there was a huge bug in the game. It increased the stack size for in-game gold in the auction house from 1 million to 10 million, making gold 10 times cheaper. And if you canceled a gold auction, you got refunded double the amount. Oops. So people were exploiting this left and right to generate trillions of gold. Isn't this the whole reason why Diablo 3 clung to this always online thing? It's not about the DRM. It's about the integrity in the auction house, da-da-da. And then they fucked it up with this bug.
Womp, womp.
So why bother with always online? Well, I guess that's maybe why the PlayStation 4 and 3 ones are going to go a different route and not have to worry about that shit, right? I don't know.
Womp, womp.
Well, if there is any possible silver lining to this, Blizzard, in talking about the bug, said that just 415 players, all of which were sanctioned, actually used the exploit, and the real money auction sales that were generated as a part of this, all of the proceeds will be redirected to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. If you had a legitimate transaction, you have nothing to worry about. But if you are one of these 415 sellers that sold the excess gold, guess who really got your money? Charity.
You know,
so
I
kind
always,
of an interesting end
I always
to it.
Hate that they always punish people that exploit bugs in games. Like, if you're hacking, that's one thing. If you're exploiting, like, a bug or a glitch, That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, but you should have seen some of these people, man. I saw somebody on, or at least I saw a link to a clip from Justin TV where this guy was like, I'm going to walk you through how to do this, da-da-da. And then he's like, what are you going to do about it, Blizzard? Come at me, bro, da-da-da. And then, of course, they came at him. And but, you know, it's kind of like when I see that kind of cockiness and arrogance, you're kind of like, you're waiting for these guys to get the ban hammer, and it's kind of hilarious. Come on, Loki, you got to admit, like a guy like that, kind of asking for it, right?
I'm not necessarily talking about this situation. I'm talking about, like, you know, like Call of Duty, for example. They have, it's stupid, they consider, like, jumping up on certain, like, areas that you might not necessarily think about jumping up on, a glitch. And so they patch that out, and you can actually get, like, banned or, you know, short-term banned for using these glitches in-game. I'm like, what the hell? It's a container that you can jump on. Why should that be a bannable offense?
Well, it's just weird to me that somehow this really horrific bug was missed. I mean, this is huge. I don't know. It just kind of goes to show that tying your game to online may not fix all your problems.
It's weird that, you know, you might have a bug like that, and then sometimes you may have a bug that, you know, causes your workers not to drive their cars to work and instead walk up a giant hill and lose their jobs because they're, you know, they're too far away from... Oh, I have to be The Sims.
All right, moving on.
Why you just cheat and give yourself the motherload code and buy a teleporter. I mean, I don't do anything like that at all, do I?
But the whole point of at least the older Sims game, I'm not talking about New Sim City, but all those... Cheat, 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 cheat. Everybody cheats in those games. That's the fun of the game. That's why this new Sim City was very, like, to me, because, like, it's always online. How am I going to cheat? You know, which I know they have their sandbox mode, but it's not the same.
The fun of The Sims for me was pretty much building my house and then getting all of the, you know, really dirty add-ons that people would make.
Prince Brightstar in chat, an interesting comment. It's a difference between single and multiplayer games. You know, Diablo's auction house is very multiplayer, but see, that's where Diablo's in a weird place, because a lot of people are like, I want to play Diablo as a single-player game. This is why I hated the online thing in the first place, is that it wasn't never a multiplayer thing to me. For me, I think Diablo is more fun with more people, but... You know, no. I respect those that don't want to play the game that way.
Playing with other people is hell.
You know, it'd be awesome. Because it reminds me of, like, what was it? Now I can't remember the hell that. Gauntlet Legends. It reminds me of that. That'd be cool to do, like, a Diablo arcade game, like with four players at the same time, and just like,
oh yeah, oh yeah. But Gauntlet Legends was kind of that.
Yeah, I know,
that
they
game
don't
was amazing.
Have it anymore, yeah.
That game was amazing.
I
well,
love that game.
Get an N64, dust it off. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Darksaga.
I can dig one up for you. Anyway, there's a rumor going around, and there was even a fake logo out on Reddit about this, that the next Xbox was supposed to be called the Xbox Infinity. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this was supposed to be a report from the International Business Times. And that there was also supposed to be floating around in rumor land about an Xbox TV video streaming set that was mentioned via Wall Street Journal. But Microsoft is like, we're not commenting on that because it's rumors and speculation. And even if it's true, we aren't telling you.
Okay, well, the International Business Times thing is completely fake, by the way, because their source, they said unnamed sources. Then they said Reddit. Uh-huh. Right there, it's like, okay, that's not true. And yes, it came out that the person that actually created the Photoshop for that said, nope, that's not true. So, yes, unfortunately, fortunately, the Xbox Infinity thing, not true. More likely is the fact Fusion, which would be, you know,
I still think that's a dumb name.
It would tie in with all the, you know, site registrations that they have for Xbox Fusion or something like that. So
that's
some part of it
still a dumb name.
Whatever. So yeah, Xbox Infinity. That's just a ridiculous name, because how do you go from there? I mean, Infinity plus one.
At any rate, basically just talking about this for the sake of squashing the rumor mill. It's not true. Like, getting your information from Reddit would be like me writing my term paper on Wikipedia. It could be correct, but you don't know. You don't know who these people are.
I solve crimes on Reddit.
No. There's nothing wrong with getting some news from Reddit as long as you back... Yeah. As long as you... Okay,
can trace the
stuff
source.
Leaks out. It's fine if stuff leaks out, but you have to have some sort of evidence that leaks... Mm-hmm. A picture on Reddit is not evidence. That is like, that's ridiculous.
Right. And, to be fair, I don't want to make it sound like we're dogging on Reddit. I love Reddit. I'm a user. I you know, I post on things and so forth. And it's been a great place to enrich the Warcraft podcast community. It has a great subreddit. But you have to, because Reddit is a part of the internet, you have to be a little bit a skeptic. Yeah. You have to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just an extension of everything else on the internet.
Reddit's bad, but it's just like saying, you know, you saw a screenshot on some random website. If you have nothing, if you have no like sort of evidence to back that up, you know, let's say you have actual sources. Now we know that the International Business Times has no fucking sources. When, you know, their sources are fucking some dude that's in their department or some intern.
Hey, I was on Reddit during a quote lunch unquote.
Or Examiner.com is almost all like user based, and Forbes is going that way too.
But here's the worst fucking part about that. So they ran that story, and they checked no sources or whatever, nothing. And so they ran it. Then everybody else ran it. Everybody ran it. And it's like, what the fuck? First off, these guys don't check their sources. Then you just don't check your sources either. You're just as bad as they are.
Oh, there's a lot of those journalist sites that keep their tabs on.
And then the response,
Reddit.
So you may have seen us run this article about this. Well, it was a clever Photoshop. I was like, come on, man. Seriously? You didn't even check anything? I thought you had sources that had information about things.
Okay, back when the whole Beautiful Katamari thing happened to us, right? That was all Dig, which, you know, was kind of like the Reddit of 5 years ago, right? Was Dig. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when our story got upvoted and all that on Dig because people were, you know, seeing it on our site, that's when it really blew up and it was everywhere. And then, you know, mm-hmm. it got too far exposed. But anyway,
but I'm saying that it's just they're not thinking. And if all these sites have sources, though, it just makes me wonder how legit these sources are if they're taking Reddit photos. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad that it's on Reddit, but just like an anonymous screenshot on, you know, a website or something like that.
To be fair, some of them credited it with due credit. Like, I saw a run of this story on Ars Technica that said, you know, here's this story about Xbox Infinity, and then they ran it with the logo, but the caption of the logo was, here's how one Reddit user named Duh imagined the logo to look. You know, and it was done right. So.
Yeah.
All right, anyhow. I like the name Xbox Infinity, but that's about as far as I give this story anyway. Sorry. We'll see. May 21st. It is almost here, for God's sake.
Right now,
one more show full of this crap.
You know what? I don't even care.
We need to go
I'm calling it the shit box.
I'm going to get... We already let our listeners vote. It's Xbox Lube. It's the lube.
Or that, or I'm going to, like, build a new litter box for my cat that looks like whatever their new Xbox is so she can poop in it.
All right.
What you need to do, I mean, this is already, it's begging for a Photoshop, but, you know, Invader Zim had this alien race with the amazing fusion technology, and it's basically duct taping shit together. So, you know, I fused this phone with a hamster.
Yeah, they already did that with two GameCubes.
Not duct tape. I've known people who have held computers together via duct tape, and I saw a car that seemed to be held together by nothing but duct tape and chicken wire last time I was in Alabama. I kid you not. The whole door.
Prince Brightstar in chat says, name speculation has always been a part of new console launches. Remember the Nintendo On? I do, and I remember when they were just going to call it Nintendo or Revolution. Remember that?
Well, technically, it was called Revolution. It was their code name for
it. Yeah, but, you know.
Just like Dolphin.
Durango.
Should have been Dolphin. Dolphin! That should be just a commercial.
And then Tyra Banks screaming and running from the Dolphin.
Just to go back to chat, you know, we're talking about the Midna's new litter box being an Xbox Lube. The thing is that if we got one of those, Dan would put it on the shelf and Midna would try to take over it and sit on it,
mm-hmm.
because that's what she does with our current Xbox.
That's what video game systems are. They're cat warmers.
We have a black shelf and a black Xbox, and my black cat sits right next to the Xbox when she's trying to blend in,
mm-hmm.
and hide from people. It is the funniest thing because where's the cat? Where's the cat? Where's the cat? Green eyes. There's a cat.
She's
no,
fusing,
the Xbox is just on.
Fusing with the Xbox.
Nice. All right, let's move on, Loki.
All right. So there's yet another rumor about a set-top box version of the next Xbox. And you know, this kind of goes back to the rumors where they were saying that, you know, there's going to be two different types of Xbox systems. There's going to be one that's kind of like a Apple TV or, you know, something that's basically connected to the internet always, but has no actual, you know, media drives or anything like that. It's mainly meant for like streaming and, you know, Xbox Live Arcade and that kind of sort of thing. So there's that. And this is actually coming from, I guess, an anonymous source that told the Wall Street Journal that this Xbox TV thing is in the works. And I guess we'll have to wait until the 21st to see if that's actually going to happen. I think we've been hearing a lot of rumors about it. It would make sense if they did something like that because, I mean, the new focus of the system, aside from playing games, is going to be kind of integrating with the, you know, your TV watching. You know, they want to have their own content, and it's a big thing, you know, for people that don't necessarily game on the Xbox, you know, or if you are gaming on the Xbox, the other half of your time is probably watching, you know, Netflix or Hulu or something like that. So it would make sense that they're trying to integrate it even more.
Well, every Xbox, though, that's come out, they've had this advertisement for linking your TV shows and doing, you know, making it a hub for all of your entertainment. It wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being accurate.
I don't mind the way they've got it right now, but I don't like having to launch separate programs for everything. I just kind of want it as, like, channels almost, if that makes sense. You know, it's just like, okay, I need to watch, you know, or kind of like how they do it, I guess, on the Wii U with the TV is, you know, okay, I want to watch The Simpsons or something. And then it's like, okay, The Simpsons are on Netflix, on Hulu, and on Fox right now, or on, you know, Amazon. And you can pick where you want to stream that shit from instead of having to figure out, okay, well, I got to go on Hulu. Oh, shit, it's not here. Oh, I got to go on Netflix. Oh, it's not here. Oh, I got to go here. You know, it'll just show you where it's at and where you can find it, or if it's on TV right then, or you can maybe go one step further and say, okay, I want DVR that.
Did they integrate Netflix into TV finally?
I think that was the first thing that they integrated with.
No,
that.
It wasn't there at first. It really? Was, they had Amazon was in there at first. I think it was the first.
I know it's on, I think it's on there because it's that and then Amazon. I
actually used my Wii U for Netflix last night, but I didn't do it through TV. I just was in the Wii U. So. Going to our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. Rama says, Xbox TV, just like Apple TV, but cheaper and less uppity.
Hey.
Well, it might not be cheaper either.
Apple TV's pretty fucking cheap.
$99 now, yeah. Right?
Yeah. You know what, though? You can just have a computer.
Yeah, build a $99 computer.
Or just get somebody's old PC that they're not using or get one at a thrift store. As long as it'll go online, it works.
It's just not sexy, though.
Mine's pretty sexy.
Bobby Blackwolf in our chat room confirming, yes, they did. With the integration with Netflix on TV. They've also recently integrated Hulu Plus. I'm pretty sure on that last one, at least.
Yeah, I just had to look it up because we're having a seminar this week about video streaming and what it means for our business. Basically, a bunch of people going to be saying, oh, it's so difficult. Don't worry. Don't worry. You can still sell movies.
All right, well, moving on to back to games. A big merger happened in the gaming world this week. XSEED Games, who made, what, Pandora's Tower? They made a few other games, too, like a lot of cult. Like, didn't they do Last Story?
They did the Last Story.
They brought all those Rainfall games over, right?
Yeah, everything except for the first one.
Xenoblade, yeah.
Yeah, Xenoblade.
Well, XSEED purchased Atlas Online, and Atlas, of course, did what? Like, Disgaea, publish that? And, you know, they do a lot of those publishings.
I think Atlas Online's a separate entity from...
Oh, herp derp. Well, good. I'm glad you clarified that. But Atlas Online...
Rama said Wild Arms.
Atlas Online has been purchased by XSEED Games, and they've now formed a new name. So you're not going to hear this anymore. You're going to hear Marvelous USA. They will be based in Irvine. And it's going to be all the employees from the former XSEED game teams. And with Atlas Online, I see, because it's going to be about enhancing mobile and online game markets. So it's kind of more about rounding themselves out so that probably you could see like a Pandora's Tower, like iPhone game and so forth. Okay, so this has nothing to do with this guy.
They have the next Suda 51 game. They've got, Killer is Dead? This is their next big kind of multi-platform release.
All right. Well, very cool. You know, it's not like, you know, these are two kind of smaller-ish companies joining together to try and, you know, mm-hmm. step it up and compete more with the big guys like EA and so forth. So this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like there was job loss that came out of it. So great. All right. Let's move on.
Well, in other news, we have, well, some very interesting news coming out of for EA. They have a FIFA exclusive license until 2022, which I guess they're not hurting all that much if they're getting the FIFA games. That's including the FIFA World Cup game and everything under EA Sports for the FIFA branding. Also now, and this is the kicker, I would say, is that Disney is giving EA a Star Wars game agreement exclusive licensing for all of the Star Wars characters and storylines. EA is going to develop and publish the new titles for a, quote, core gaming audience over, let's see, all interactive platforms and the most popular game genres. Disney is retaining the rights to develop new titles with mobile, social, tablet, and online gaming. So, Disney, thank you for killing the Star Wars franchise by putting it in EA's hands. You know, and they're going to rush everything out and give us shitty endings and change the writing halfway through the story. And
I don't think it's a bad thing, actually, because I mean, look at the game that everybody wants, Star Wars Battlefront 2.
No.
Who published the last three. Or 3, whatever. They want a sequel to 2. So look who published the last one. I mean, I think it was EA under, you know, they published it for LucasArts, if I remember correctly. So that's not so bad.
Well,
saying.
Was it just me, or when you guys read the news about this week, did you just suddenly hear this in your head?
You know what? You might laugh.
EA owns your ass right now. Coming to wreck all your favorite games.
Hey, I look forward to Star Wars FIFA soccer. Yeah.
You know what? I was going to use this as my wedding march. Had we not gone to the courthouse.
Aw.
Totally
you were literally, going to literally walk down the aisle to this?
I was.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to walk down the aisle,
Tiara
too.
Tiara walked down to Doctor Who stuff.
Because...
No, she'd walk down to the Star Trek The Next Generation opening.
Well, now, I know it sounds weird to hear me talking about walking down the aisle, but you have to realize in a gay wedding it'll be a little bit different. But I already have my song picked out.
You guys missed Alan in the background going,
Alan just, nope. Like, with impeccable comment timing, just walked by and went, nope. That was ABBA's I Do, I Do, I Do, just in case you didn't. I imagine most of our audience probably didn't catch the reference, but that was it.
Oh, come on. It's you. They know you and your love of ABBA. I just wish that we had a webcam on when you were playing Just Dance ABBA.
And I'm glad we didn't.
Because that was the funniest thing I've ever seen
in
my life.
I inadvertently had to walk down the aisle to the song Weak.
I don't remember that.
I remember your...
Yes, you should have. Remember the DJ that was absolutely terrible?
That DJ was
awful. He played the wrong song.
When you walked out, okay, not the aisle, but when you were introduced. Yeah.
No. When we first walked out, when we walked down the aisle, it was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be Sunrise Sunset, I think it was supposed to be what they were going to be walking down to.
Oh, yeah.
And then it ended up being like Weak or something. I'm like, the hell are you playing?
Nice.
I have to say, though, your wedding was pretty fun.
And I will say that Chris Brown song that you have everybody dancing to, that's banned. You will not hear that you will not hear that goddamn song at my wedding. So, all right. Anyway, Rama in chat says, Rob Roberts is going to walk down the aisle to It's Raining Men or something by the Spice Girls. How gay do you think I am?
No.
Spice Girls. That's totally you.
I mean, then again, I am talking about walking down to ABBA, but that's different.
But ABBA.
That's classic.
ABBA is classic.
That's right.
But
Spice Girls is getting pretty classic, too.
I'll tell you what, if you want to class it up a bit, Get Lucky. You just need to walk down to Get Lucky.
That's it.
It's not even really walking out. It's more strutting at
that
point.
I'll walk down to the music from Tron. Doom, 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 doom.
No.
The game has changed.
No, you have to do the You have to do the Wendy Carlos Tron soundtrack.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
And we'll have blue lights everywhere.
All right. Anyway, somehow we went from Star Wars to weddings. But all right. So Loki doesn't think this is such a big deal. You know what? The Star Wars games lately have been so bad. Like, what was the last... like, really? When was the last time there was a good Star Wars game?
Super Star Wars.
Granted, The Old Republic, I didn't hate it. I just think it was a better single-player game. And some of the MMO aspects didn't work out so well and kind of flopsied. But, like, I can't stop thinking about that Star Wars Kinect game. It was so bad.
Okay, well, that was really terrible. But what about before that? The Force Unleashed? I think some people like the first one.
Hmm.
That was supposed to be all right.
Oh, Alan's here. Are you gonna comment further on my music choices, Alan?
No, just Star Wars games.
Okay.
Force Unleashed, I thought, was pretty good, even if the first one wasn't quite finished. And Jedi Academy 2, I love that game. I'd love to see a third one.
I remember Dan playing through Rogue Squadron, and that seemed pretty neat.
No more Star Wars characters in Soul Calibur, though. You can bet that. That's done. All right.
You know what? That was a mistake.
I liked it. Starkiller was an awesome character. Not so much the Yoda and Vader. That was what Starkiller made a great character in Soul Calibur. But anyway.
Maybe we'll get another Marvel fighting game from EA.
All right, let's travel around the world. Look, those Star Wars games, they said none of them in fiscal 2014. So it's going to be a while before you see these games. So for now, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of games coming a little bit sooner.
This week, there's only one game coming out, and that would be Metro Last Light, and that's on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase damage.
Well, that was short.
Yep.
We've had a lot of weeks of just, like, nothing lately.
It'll pick up a little bit.
Everyone's sleeping.
Especially with summer coming up, you would think...
I wish I was sleeping right now.
Summer's usually dead, though.
Well, aren't there usually like a bunch like late May, early June, like right when the kids get out of school?
There used to be a bunch late in June, but it's not the case this year.
Hmm. Interesting. Traveling over to Japan and checking out what is coming out over there. I know we've talked about this series before. Muv Luv Alternative Total Eclipse on the PlayStation 3. I know we've talked about this before. Isn't it like an anime or something? We finally figured out what it's about.
I thought it was like a girl groping game or something.
It sounds like a girl groping game. When you see pictures like that where...
When they don't show the guy's face, you know it's porn.
There's some Muv Luv going on there.
And then Mech Warriors. I remember it's like based on an anime or something. I think somebody had to educate us on this.
That's all the animes. You know what? Like scantily clad women and mechs.
That's all the games in Japan that come out
and don't come out over here. And honestly,
unless it's Ray Earth, then you know Clamp.
And honestly, I have no problem with that. I mean, because that's pretty awesome. Mechs are awesome. Women are awesome. So yeah, cool.
Bob Coffee in chat says it's a visual novel. That's what it is. Not anime.
Visual novel's not so awesome.
Stop. On the Xbox 360, also Muv Luv is there as well. By the way, that's in regular, limited edition, and Famitsu Deluxe Pack. I'm assuming Famitsu is going to give it a 40, right? No, probably not. Moving on to the PlayStation Vita. Nothing this week, but there will be a new BlazBlue pretty soon. Or is that a price reduction? Oh, sorry, that's a price reduction.
Why can't we get any more Tokimeki? You know, good old-fashioned dating sims.
You should write your congressperson.
They have visual novels coming out from Axis Games. It's more of the, I don't remember which series it is now, but they've done a couple on PSP, and they keep putting them out on PSP.
Rama from our friends at Anime Jam Session, Tuesdays on VOG, says, Loki, you shut your whore mouth. Not all anime is boobs and ass.
All the good ones, though.
Hey! Hey, there's lots of good anime out there that isn't boobs and ass.
Well, like Pokemon.
It was all boobs and ass. I said it was boobs and ass and mechs.
I was about to say Macross, but yeah, there's some of that there too.
All right. On the Wii U this week, nothing, but Biohazard Revelations Unveiled Edition is soon. That would, of course, be Resident Evil over here. On the 3DS this week, G1 Grand Prix gets a price reduction, and that's really it on the 3DS this week. Lastly, taking a look at one more console here, the PSP, because there's still some things trickling through over there. Summon Night 5 comes out this week from Namco Bandai, or as they call it over there, Bandai Namco.
Ooh.
So... There you go.
That looks neat.
Yeah, it looks like another little chibi. Oh, it looks like
it looks like a strategy.
Yeah, a strategy RPG thing, like a tactics style game.
Never mind. Well, how about the UK?
Yes, how about it?
They have crumpets. No, I'm kidding. Well, yeah, they do, but still. On the 14th of May, we have Dust 514. On the 15th, we have Sanctum 2 for PS3, PC, Xbox 360. On the 16th, Frozen signups for iPad and the Starship Domrei on 3DS. And on the 17th, Metro Last Light for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. And that is all.
All right, just a couple more news stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
All right. So Silicon Knights, you may remember them for Too Human and a bunch of other games. I remember them from Too Human. Well, they have closed their doors or closed their offices. They have emptied out their offices and unloaded some of their properties. In fact, unloading some assets from Eternal Darkness, I want to believe, to the Shadows of the Eternal Kickstarter there. So they've actually got assets down for their new game, and they are still arguing with Epic Games over Two Humans still, if you can believe that. I mean, how long ago? 2008? I mean, jeez. Give it up already. You haven't won yet.
Oh, 5 whole years ago. No. Yeah, five whole years ago.
They're not... still fighting them, even though I remember last thing that they... The last... I want to say the last settlement or settlement and the judgment was that they owed even more or something now. I don't remember. Yeah, $4.45 million going to Epic Games and still they're fighting it. Gosh. I don't know. I don't think we're going to see any more games from Silicon Knights.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say probably are not going to see anything else from them. But you will see some new games possibly on a new game console. It's a mobile game TV console. It's called Game Pop. This is being made by BlueStax, and you can play mobile games on your TV with this little device using the controller, an iPhone or an Android smartphone. But here's where it's different than, say, the Ouya, which is, you know, probably the first thing that pops in your mind, which is very similar, or something like GameStick. The subscription model is like Netflix here. For $7 a month, you get the entire GamePop library. That's 500 games right now. Now, how many of those are actually good games? Who knows? But out of 500, there's got to be at least a few. So it's more the... what's the streaming?
GameTap.
Yeah, GameTap. Or what was the other one that is the streaming stuff just a few years ago?
OnLive.
Yeah, the OnLive model. So anyway, very interesting. Also, if you pre-order the console this month, you get it for free as long as you are doing a paid subscription to the service. There is no commitment or contract. The only little catch is that you have to return the console if you cancel your service within 1 year. So, but if, as long as you're willing to do, what, 12 payments of $7, you would get a year's worth of games in the console. But again, they're mobile games and on your TV.
And it's something that you need to have a mobile phone to, or it basically you have to download an app on your device to
play. It says there's a controller, or you can use iPhone or Android.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it says
see, that's where it's a little confused on, because they actually, in their trailer, they don't actually show a controller. They just show you have to download the app and use your phone as the controller. In fact, actually, I don't think there is a controller, because it basically, what it does is it changes your phone into a controller. So almost like a second screen, if you will. But that's the only thing that seems kind of unappealing to me, because if you really wanted to do that... And I know that you can say the same argument about the Ouya and stuff, but you can get like an HDMI cable for your phone for like less than $30 and plug your phone into your TV.
But there's the whole fact that you get 500 games. Now, Act Deft in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says Action 52 had 52 games in it, and how many of those were good? Well, but one of them was an Angry Birds. There might be a couple gems amongst, I'm sure, a lot of throwaway games here, but you know, there might be some good stuff.
It's an interesting idea.
Do you think we're not that far away from Xbox or PlayStation? PlayStation Plus is kind of like this.
They've been saying already that the Xbox 360 or the new Xbox, I should say, is going to have it's going to be focusing a lot on free to play stuff. Probably because it makes sense, because if free to play, you can avoid, you know, piracy, because who cares? Pirate it, more copies are out there, and you make all your money in DLC. I don't know. It's all right if they don't make it ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Right. All right. Well, let's take a trip back in time to a time when, you know, you didn't have any of this subscription fees to play a game or anything like that.
Well, unless
or
you had
Satellaview. I guess, but I think this game might go before that. I don't know.
No, this game's well after that.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to take a trip back in time then just a little bit to a classic video game the Dark Sakura has picked for us. She's jumped into the vault and said, "Hey, ungrateful kids, play this game this week and respect gaming." Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
I picked the Neon Genesis Evangelion game for Nintendo 64.
Hmm.
It actually, out of all of those games that's come out, like the Saturn games and the other ones, this one has to probably be my favorite. It was really fun as far as it going through the entire series with the various battles and everything. It was based pretty directly on the TV series and actually went into events for End of Evangelion. So you had 13 missions that were basically focused on each of the angels going up to in fact, this scene that I've linked here is the mission 12 where you go against the Ava series. And then at 13 are the other... yeah, I went up through 13 levels. So basically, this is just a retelling of the series. But it's one that you participate in. You play as... the various pilots in the game. There's even, like, this one right here is probably my favorite part in the entire series where Asuka gets her big I'm gonna kick everybody's ass moment. Oh, wait, I'm no longer in a coma. It was really, really freaking well done for something on the Nintendo 64, I just have to say. So really, there's not that much to say about it. It's that, You control the weapons as they go. You have, cinematic attacks. You have actions. You have a different type of game plan that goes through. You're sort of in a 3D, 2D course where you can walk back and forth. But it pretty much has to do with just pressing the right commands to do the cinematic attacks. I mean, that's really the basis of it. And then... in the end, you have like a free-for-all. You're still in that 3D, 2D sort of move, but you can move more freely. And that's used in missions 12 through 13. You also have parts that are outside the missions, like a training mode that's called simulation. You have different models that you can view. You've got your story mode, so you actually are playing through the events and the stories. And really... there's actually also a versus mode too, where you can do two-player Ava versus Eva mode, and it's really just simple. It's freaking Evangelion. You're playing the episodes, and this one to me was the best of them, just because it had more of that action element to it and less of the whole, as I was calling the Saturn ones, date sim Evangelion. It's just good game. It was the best of the lot, and I think that for anyone who's a fan of the series, you should definitely give it a try.
For a Nintendo 64 game, it looks really good, too.
It does. This was, if I remember correctly, this is one of the games that was released during the later part of the Nintendo 64's life, because I remember, I think that I first played this when I had a Dreamcast. I know that one of my friends bought this, and that's how I played it, but this is on my list of things to eventually pick up. It was a really, really fun game. And, I mean, really, since it's Nintendo 64, I'm throwing it on the list because, I mean, I really can't say enough good things about it. It may seem kind of, dated now, but for its day, it was pretty nice graphics and mm-hmm. really good gameplay. It was very solid. Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that it? All right. There it is, your classic game of the week for the Nintendo 64, Neon Genesis Evangelion. Awesome. Neat pick, because I don't know much about that series at all, but watching that YouTube, I was like, oh, this looks kind of fun. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there is plenty more news to come. The Fugle question of the week, all about Zelda, in the spirit of our interview earlier tonight. Your emails, and plenty more. Your calls, too. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, episode 504, right after this.
Hey, everyone. I'm DJ Ronma S. I'm Ari Rockefeller.
And I'm Mako Chan with Anime Jam Session.
And you're participating with Orange Lounge Radio,
the show where every gamer has a voice.
And I want to use my voice to tell you that I like video games because I can kill people and not have to worry about going to prison.
Wow. I want to use my voice to tell you that Final Fantasy VII is the greatest Final Fantasy game of all time and is not overrated.
Oh, boy. I want to use my voice to tell you that I would pay all my money for a Capcom fighting game crossover where no one bitches about the lineup. Make a dream, Kenny.
Never happen.
I know, but I do like that. So, yeah.
It's a good idea. Okay. Can we go get food now?
Fuck yes, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I kind of want some Pinkberry.
Pinkberry.
All right, let's get out of here.
Peace.
See ya.
Bye.
Welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 504 in progress.
Pinkberry now.
Loki wants to use his voice to tell you that animes with boobies are better.
I want Pinkberry now.
Everything with boobies is better.
You know, I can actually imagine a few things that putting boobs on would make it absolutely not better. Could you imagine boobs with boobs? That would be frightening.
Double boobs?
No. Just boobs that have boobs.
Wouldn't that just be like
That'd
a
be
cow
extra bumpy.
Or something? I don't know.
No. Right.
That would be torpedo breasts.
No.
All right. Look, you guys are awkward. All right. I forgot to mention this during my gaming week, but I should mention this device that's sitting on our studio table now. I got an iCade this week, which thanks to Dark Soccer saying something about it on Facebook that
did,
it was on sale.
Did you get Blazing Star? Did you?
No, but
why
I...
Why not?
Well, because I may or may not have a MAME emulator on the iPad. And so I was playing Mega Man the Power Battle this week. It's kind of awesome. Just saying.
You know what?
What? I will check that out as well, too. But yeah, I was having... And I don't want to hear it about the whole, like, you shouldn't support MAME and piracy and all that. I bought every single stinking Capcom arcade bundle pack and every freaking...
You supported Game Room. Done.
Yeah, I did. Look, yeah, exactly. I eat up all that retro shit when they put it out.
But
so
totally. The Metal Slug games are actually super fun.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
With the iCade. But Blazing Star, I told you how to get it to work, right?
Mm.
You start the game, then you leave the game and go back into it, and then the iCade will work with it.
Oh.
It won't write when you start up.
Hmm. Well, you know what else I have on there? I have a Rygar, which is awesome, obviously, the arcade version. And I actually had it working once. I think I took it out, but I had Beatmania on there at one point,
what?
Like the old school one. Yeah, Beatmania you can do on there.
Lol.
But the thing is, I can't figure out how to map the buttons yet, so I'm kind of stuck with the default configuration. So if I wanted to play Beatmania on that, it would kind of suck.
You should use the make your joystick or scratch.
Yeah.
Just flick it with your hand.
It shouldn't be that hard if it memes, but you know, if, I think it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I think so. So, all right. Well, anyway, we're gonna get back into some news here, rapid fire news. So, Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about The Sims. Well, actually, SimCity. SimCity is getting a 3.0 update this week, and it's attempting to fix the traffic problem. Again, because if you remember 2.0 kind of made some more problems. So they're trying to fix that. And so we'll have to see later this week. She makes for some interesting reads. Also, they announced The Sims 4. It's going to be coming next year on PC. And it is going to be offline and single player. They made sure to mention that. And last but not least, you may remember, you know, such wonderful games getting rebooted, like, well, Duke Nukem Forever maybe is not a good example, but Rise of the Triad. Well, now Shadow Warrior getting redone by Flying Wild Hog. They're the developer, and it's supposed to be published by Devolver Digital, which, you know, it's done all sorts of awesome things. So I kind of, you know, I almost forgot a little, you know, of Shadow Warrior. I love Shadow Warrior because, you know, it had a slightly better version of the build engine. So you could do, like, upstairs and downstairs. Because remember, the build engine, you couldn't really, like, create rooms. Like, if you had an elevator or something like that, you had to create, like, a teleporter that would teleport you to a different room. It was the limitations of the engine. So, looks cool. I can't wait.
Going back to the SimCity stories for a minute here in our chat room, live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, great, another traffic fix. Haven't they had to fix the traffic in like every single patch? They're doing something to it?
Yeah, they have. And it just hasn't worked.
Well, you know, traffic is a serious problem. It's not, you know, if you can fix traffic that easy, LA would have it figured out by now,
right? Well, remember
right?
the last time they tried it, the last patch like fucked up sewage or something like that. Mm. I'm sure it'll get taken apart once they put it out. Also, forgot to mention that SimCity has reached 1.6 million in sales. 50% of that were online, so that's not surprising, I think. Considering that, you know, I don't know, a lot of people purchase PC games online nowadays.
Speaking of traffic, just totally random aside question. I heard this on the radio the other day. Obviously, LA is the worst city in the nation for traffic, but do you know what the number two city in the nation is?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Traffic? It is not Atlanta, Georgia. It's
have
not.
You ever been in, have you ever been in Atlanta driving?
I'm telling you, it was not ranked number. It might have been number three. I don't know, but it was not number two, and it was not. It was not Sacramento, and it's not
San Francisco on
not,
game day.
Nope, it's not San Francisco either. Honolulu, second worst city for traffic, which is interesting. But I guess when you think it's kind of all by itself out there, and if they didn't build it right the first time, there's not a lot of other places to build. Makes sense. All right. Anyhow.
Actually, I do have to agree with Prince Bright Star. Boston is pretty bad.
Boston is very
Atlanta,
bad.
Seriously, Atlanta's the worst traffic I have ever been in.
Bobby, is Atlanta the worst? Yes or no?
No, it's really bad. It's really, really bad.
All right. Let me move on to some Nintendo-focused stories here. First one's about Super Mario RPG. Super Mario RPG is going to be a reward for Club Nintendo members. You can get that on the Wii Virtual Console for 200 coins if you are a Club Nintendo member. That's on the Wii Virtual Console, not Wii U. You can also get Maboshi's Arcade for WiiWare for 150. 3D Classics Excitebike for 150. Wasn't that free at one point? Art Style Acquia for 100 coins. That's on DSiWare on the 3DS. So
that's a cool game that I really wish would have a sequel.
Hmm.
Mario RPG?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You might have 150 extra coins to spare if you purchase Super Metroid using coins. Nintendo, in a very interesting move, decided to refund people who bought Super Metroid using 150 coins because of the 30-cent promotion coming up on Wii U. They decided to refund the coins.
How kind.
That is actually a very nice thing to do, because I would have thought people just should have been smarter and known that was coming. But that's pretty cool. Good on you, Nintendo. And now you can use the coins to go buy a game that's almost as good as Super Metroid, but not quite. Because Super Metroid, remember, is greater than your favorite. All right. And lastly, when it comes to E3, this is really no surprise at all. Reggie Fils-Aimé and Shigeru Miyamoto are going to be hosting the pre-E3 presentation. I mean, duh, right? Like, those are the big personalities at Nintendo.
The biggest shock is that they say presentation, not a million presentations.
Well, but there could still be future ones done by other. I mean, it's not always just the two of them in the videos. I've seen plenty of other people in there, so including one JC. Well, I knew back in the DDR days.
They may have like one before E3 and then a million after, or during and after.
Okay, I see. Yeah, a custom tailored Nintendo Direct. All right. The presentation will be to selected media, and it's going to take place before the show floor opens to the public. Once the presentation is over, members of the press gets to test out the titles before anyone else.
That's what they're doing. They've already announced that was what they were doing.
Saying that Reggie Fils-Aimé and Miyamoto are hosting it.
Well, cool.
Which is no surprise, I'm sure.
I'm sure his body is ready.
Yeah. I wish I could get in. Me too. I want my body to be ready. All right, Dark Sakura.
Sorry, I was complaining about Florida cops. apologies to any of our listeners who is cop in Florida. I know you are not all assholes. Okay. So coming to the 3DS eShop is a Sonic the Hedgehog, which is good news for everybody who is interested in playing that on your 3DS. It's actually even got the Genesis Model 2 audio, which you can listen to as well. And there's also, and this makes me pretty happy, Dol Danpachi Sai Daijo will be out for 360, and it will be region free, so I can import the shit out of that. I mean, basically, since it's pretty much not being localized, you can just import it, and that makes me super happy because I love Dodonpachi. And then, last but not least, GameStop is not going to be taking PS2 trade-ins anymore, even though they will still be selling the games. As of June 1st, they will not accept the console or related products for trade. Assholes. Well, they're very excited about the PS4.
Ooh. Let's be real, though. I mean, I it's not so much that they're assholes. I mean, they are assholes.
They just need the shelf space.
But not because of this, yeah.
Yeah. No. I think that they're missing out on a market, or they're going to be closing off an area of revenue, but I think they're, I don't know, I just don't think it's very wise.
Well, the flea markets will pick it up, and the other
retro
game stores.
Like Fair Game and Game Trader. Fair Game is local in Sacramento, but they are really awesome.
The one up the street here closed, even though you can still look inside it on the Google Maps thing, which is creepy.
Funny.
Super creepy. Which makes me wonder how old most of those pictures are. Go figure. All right, well, if that does it for Dark Sakura's rapid fire news, then we're going to go to the Fugle question of the week.
I rapid fired that.
Ooh, that's not the right theme song. What are you doing wrong with?
Jeez, Rab.
Facebook.com/OrangeSoundsRadio or Google Plus. Slam those words together. You get Fugle Plus, but it's Fugle. Tonight on Fugle, we plugged the interview we had in our first half with Joe, the creator of It's Dangerous to Go Alone, the movie. And we thought, you know, since this was a documentary all about The Legend of Zelda, we're going to ask our listeners this week, what's your favorite memory of The Legend of Zelda series? This could be something that happened in the game or a memory you have about playing it. We want to leave it wide open. So let's go to some of the answers on Facebook first. We'll start with Jeremy from the Koopa Club podcast. I like them. They're fun. One of my biggest and happiest memories from childhood was playing the original NES Legend of Zelda with my older brother and sister. We are not what I'd call a close family, and we don't really have much in common, but that game brought us all together, as hokey as it sounds. Exploring the dungeons, bombing every wall, trying to burn every bush, it was an amazing experience for me as a 5-year-old. That's really. I remember going around trying to set every single bush on fire in the game because you want to see if there's any more secrets. Did you do that, Dark Soccer? Did you set everything on fire that you could?
Oh, I did, and I bombed everything, and I tried to grab every single rock possible, and I would bomb every wall. I would run into every wall in a dungeon to see if I could walk through it.
I remember finding out on my own that, like, the first 5 dungeons, question mark, I don't, it might not be that many. It might only be, like, 3 or 4. You can bomb every single solitary wall that adjoins to another room. Just kind of a random, but that doesn't work later on. Like, just because a room is next to it doesn't mean you can bomb through it. I know, cool story. I also think it's very cool that you were playing games that were as cool as Zelda with your family. My mom didn't understand Zelda. She had no idea. You know what my mom would play, though? The one game my mom would, and she wouldn't, like, pick up the controller, but she'd just bark at me what to do. Like, do that, Rob, do that. Anticipation. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It was the little drawing game that was the board game.
I remember it.
And they would draw the little pictures, and my mom would just sit back in the chair and go, it's a trumpet. Rob, it's Rob, buzz in. It's a trumpet. It's a trumpet, Rob. All right.
We need to get your mom back on the show.
Well, today would be a good day for that. I did say Happy Mother's Day at the top of the show, right? I really hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Just making sure. Oh, I know it's also Bobby's birthday. So, all right. Anyway, if I neglected to do so in the first half, a Happy Mother's Day to all of the folks celebrating today, whether you are yourself a mom or have somebody who is celebrating. Back to the Facebook question of the week, Fugle question of the week. X-Link says, the first time playing Legend of Zelda, for the first time it came out, after it came out, and trying to help my friend beat the game. Playing it for hours on end, going through and trying to find all of the dungeons. Called the Nintendo Power Hotline just to get help for it. And yes, my mother gave the okay for it. Thus why I have the name Link for my handle, although the X-Link is a different story. Well, I never knew that the Link part of that came from Zelda. Remember when you had to get permission to call the tip line? I never did. Yeah, I never. Well,
we had some long distance phone bills at my house.
I never got said permission from my mom. And so, you know, it was like, Rob, you are not calling Washington. You don't need it. Figure it out. You can figure it out, Rob.
I'd be like, Grandmom, I'm calling that Nintendo line.
Why don't you write them a letter?
You only can talk to them for 10 minutes. That was seriously, I need to actually talk to my mom so I have my accent. You only got 10 minutes to talk to those people, and then you got to hang up. I don't care if they're halfway through conversation. Yes, ma'am.
I did get permission later on to call the official Sierra bulletin board system, which was a long-distance call. So I could I could download, like, King's Quest demos or something. All right, anyway. Back to Fugal. And Matt J. on Facebook says, the Zelda series, along with Metroid, has always held a special place in my heart. The first Zelda title I ever played was A Link to the Past. It, along with Super Metroid, cemented my love of gaming. One of my greatest summers as a child was 1995. Me and my two best friends at the time played through several SNES titles, A Link to the Past and Super Metroid. I remember many a summer day playing through A Link to the Past with them. Yes, it was a single-player title, but it felt like we were playing it together. We would all huddle around my friend's small black and white TV, volume blaring as we went through the game. I remember us getting all excited every time we beat a boss. We would take turns with the game, especially when it got to a point one of us couldn't get past. Just getting through the game seemed almost magical. When you're 10 years old, getting through any game can seem magical, really. It was a great summer, and there was something to be said about getting through a game together with friends. Sadly, I've long since lost touch with my two friends, but the memories will never die. It was due to that summer I developed my love for Metroid and Zelda. That's a really good story. I got a little, like, for real, I got a little verklempt hearing that story.
Are you talking amongst yourself?
I might be.
Well, you know, there's actually a bunch of chat going on right now about, you know, everyone's big retro games, you know, playing with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually just recalling the cutthroat games my mother and I would have with Dr. Mario. Cutthroat. She would get mad. I think you're cheating.
That's no. Cool that you could play those games, because my mom would only play the game show style. And on Commodore 64, she would play Jeopardy and Family Feud with me. But that's really it. But anyway, that was really, it's kind of sad the way, sadly, I've long since lost touch with my two friends, but the memories will never die. Like, I just want to, like, play that song that'll take you back to that summer. Like, it just.
Okay, if you get on the table and start dancing, leaving.
I'm just going to walk through the football field and pump my fist. Yeah, I just began it. Anyway, back to more Facebook answers. On James S. on the Fugal Question of the Week says, being 6 years old and finally completing A Link to the Past from start to finish without a guide, mind you, was one of my favorite childhood memories. It took my grandmother and my cousins about a year to finish it. To this day, I still play through it once every few years just to try and recapture that same magic from all those years ago. There's only one other game that holds the same magic and memories for me, and that's Illusion of Gaia. They just don't make them like they used to, eh, guys? Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Did you play through any adventure games, or was it just the competitive stuff that you played with your mom?
Well, my mom really liked playing Super Mario Brothers a lot, to the point where I would be chased out of my own room.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't really into, like, Zelda or anything like that. And when I borrowed my friend's, by borrow, I mean I borrowed it and he moved. Copy?
It's not yours.
Yeah, well, that's also how I acquired my Chrono Trigger. He hasn't asked for it back. I actually keep in touch with the guy, and he has never asked for it back. So, I ended up playing through the first Zelda, and my mom was like, oh, you're playing that game.
Sorry, I'm looking on Twitter, and I'm cracking up, because Bobby tweeted a picture. He's holding up the anticipation cartridge, and he just tweeted, it's a trumpet. I think one of the game pieces was a trumpet. I don't think that was actually... No, I think there was like a meta. Like one of the answers then was trumpet. And it was very meta. Like later in the game, it would actually draw a trumpet.
Mm.
I miss like good game show games like that. And then there was one versus 100. Don't get me started.
You know what I miss? Hmm. Actually, as far as game shows go, win, lose, or draw.
They're making draw something into a game show, which is the same thing.
I know, but draw something is actually pretty...
But it doesn't have Burt Reynolds and Burt Conroy? Convoy? What was it?
Conroy.
Name? Conroy.
Well, it's just like how they made Words with Friends into a board game.
Or Bejeweled into a board game.
Fuck, I just will play Scrabble.
Which was also a great game show.
You know what actually was also a good game show? Bumper Stumpers.
That was a great game show on USA.
Chuck Woolery.
I sure do.
Chuck Woolery is the man.
It was on USA just before Up Ball night. All right. Haseo Sumugawa says, beating the water temple without help when I was 10. Wicked says, not a specific memory in game, but an entire game itself. Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. It took every single thing that made the first Legend of Zelda good, multiplied it by 10, then took everything I felt was bad in it and nullified it. There was no bad in the original Legend of Zelda. What's wrong with you? I'm just kidding.
Zelda 2, maybe.
I'm kidding.
I know people love Zelda 2, but...
The graphics were colorful, the music was orchestral, the control was tight, the design was brilliant. Granted, I haven't played a Zelda game past Link's Awakening, but I have to say what I have played, A Link to the Past, is the greatest Zelda game ever made. Rageinator says, my favorite memory is beating the first quest of the original Zelda game on the NES as a kid for the first time. Andy R., lastly on Facebook, says, when I was younger, I really wanted Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. While I was visiting my grandmother, my parents told me they'd buy me a game, so off we went to the game store. The whole way there, I explained to my grandmother how there were two games and how they were related and such, straight out of Nintendo Power, I'm sure. When we got there, my parents told me they'd only buy me one of them. I picked one and we went home. That night, I was playing it, and my grandmother came over with a grin, handed me the other game, and told me to keep it a secret from my parents.
Aww.
That was so good. I'm, like, choking here. That's a great Mother's Day story.
My grandma bought me a Killer Instinct.
That explains a lot.
She took me to four different stores to buy Killer Instinct until we found it at, rest in peace, Montgomery Ward's.
To be fair, I had to... No, it wasn't my mom. It was my dad. My dad was the only one that would go to, like, software, etc. and all that with me. So when, like, Mortal Kombat came out and all that.
And I pitched a fit until they gave me my CD.
You pitching a fit? Even younger?
Girl.
All right. Let's go to Google Plus. Just a couple answers over there, but the first one from Redertainment. When we were kids, my sister and I both had our own Game Boys. This was the original large black and white Game Boy. My sister broke her Game Boy by hitting it while she was playing it. My sister begged and pleaded with me to allow her to play with my Game Boy. I said no because she broke hers, and I was sure she would break mine in the same way my sister broke hers. After her typical high amount of whining and crying to my parents told me to let my sister play my Game Boy despite me being absolutely sure that she would break it. My sister did end up breaking my Game Boy by hitting it as she was playing it. She was playing Zelda Link's Awakening at the time. This might not sound like a good memory, but it is because I was proven to be right, and I like being right. I especially like being right when my sister and my parents are wrong. Love it. And lastly, Flocko Jones saying, the ending to Link's Awakening was the best video game ending I have ever experienced to that point, and still ranks up there with my favorite endings ever. The Ballad of the Windfish just adds to it by being the most memorable Zelda game moment for me. I read every answer tonight. I shortened some of them a little bit for time, but every answer, if you want to see the complete answers, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio or Google+ OrangeLoungeRadio. And it's not too late to add your response either, because the people that posted before will see it. So, great job tonight, you guys. I loved some of those stories. So the big memory ones about grandma and about the two friends you don't talk to anymore, that got me in a special place. It did. All right. You all right?
I was thinking about my grandma.
Yeah.
You know what else she was responsible for?
Was this the same
for?
One who got you Killer Instinct?
That's yes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and just give the quick story. Mm-hmm. She's got a dead hip socket, had three strokes, and cerebral vasculitis, meaning that she has swelling in the her arteries and veins and everything in her brain, and two aneurysms. But I talked to her the other day. She was just fine. And I just remember that she also, and I don't think she actually realized what she was getting me at the time, but she also got me my Kirby's Avalanche, which, you know, my love for all things Puyo Puyo. She got me my entire collection of Red Hot Chili Peppers cassettes at the time, because I was super, super obsessed with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really?
In high school. And then, you know, she put up with me, you know, blasting Radiohead at all hours of the night. My grandmom is the best. And she would always say that she was trying not to spoil me, but she did spoil me pretty bad. And she took care of me when my mom moved to Arizona, so.
We'll give her a hug for all of us when you go to Alabama.
I will. All right. I will.
Let's move on with some more news tonight. Loki.
All right. So, we've been kind of talking about how there's not a lot of games on the Wii U. And unfortunately, not a lot of games from EA on the Wii U, and it doesn't sound like that's going to be changing anytime soon, because the brand new Frostbite 3 engine that they're going to be using for Battlefield 4, and I think I want to say a lot of the upcoming sports games, like they're going to be going with the Frostbite 3 engine.
Whatever the next Mass Effect is.
Yes, Dragon Age, Mass Effect, they will not run on the Wii U. So...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not good. And I think, I mean, you could say that they maybe be able to port it to Wii U if they created another engine that could ride it, you know, maybe like an upgraded, like, Frostbite 2 engine, kind of like how they do with some of the Unreal 3 stuff or whatever. But is it really worth it to them? Are they going to, I mean, they're just kind of, you know, saying, do we really want to, you know, put this much effort into creating a new engine to only sell, like, maybe 100,000 copies, if that.
Well, then, and I bet Mass Effect 3 didn't exactly sell very well, but it's because there wasn't 1 and 2.
Well, that and the whole preview, what was it, whatever the Genesis 2 was shit.
They should
utter
just,
shit.
Even if they just didn't have the gamepad functioning in 1 and 2, just port them over. God. But I guess, you know, easier. It's easy for me to sit here and say, just cram it from that box into that box. Amp up the graphics in level 3.
I'm sure they could have done that, but I'm willing to bet a lot of the reasons why they don't have all games being ported over there is Nintendo probably requires a certain amount of connectivity with the gamepad, and if they're saying, okay, listen, you have to use the gamepad in some function, you know, that's probably why you see a lot of these games not getting Wii U ports.
YYR in chat needs some clarification. Are they developing the same engine for 360 and PS3, or is this for the next... Wait, so a 360, it won't run on the Wii U? That's weird.
That's because no one cares about the Wii U.
That's not good. Well, I thought that they built the Wii U to be similar in structure to 360.
Yeah, because the new game, Battlefield 4, will, you know, it is a current gen release as well as next gen, and it will be running on that.
Well, if you can't get the next Mass Effect and Dragon Age games, why not get the next best thing? Converted smartphone games. All right, well, maybe that's not really the next best thing, but it's something that the Wii U will have going for it. They're coaxing smartphone developers to adapt their apps for the system. This is according to sources, so take it with a grain of salt, but it's in the Japan Times. Nintendo, quote, has offered professional use conversion software, quote, to certain app devs in the hopes that smartphone software could help boost the Wii U's sales figures. I'm assuming that's just to kind of boost up some of the eShop content, which we've heard is very indie-friendly to begin with, but I'm not sure that alone is going to save the Wii U. I mean, granted, a robust downloadable title stuff will help tremendously, but it's not going to be one on those mobile games alone. I think most people who want to play mobile phone games will get a mobile phone.
Or already have one.
That's right. So.
Or they'll get an Ouya.
All right, moving on. Darksakura.
Well, we do have some news. This is something that I thought was really cool, and I'm going to be checking it out. I haven't quite yet, but I've been reading up on it. There is a game called GeoGuessr that is... it basically uses Google Maps, and it drops you in a location. And you have only a few, you can go a few blocks, you can walk around. It's sort of like you were, you know, kidnapped and got away and you have no fucking clue where you are. So you use your clues around and then you have a map and you can pick on the map where you are. And the closer you get, the more points you get. So you have 5 rounds. And so by the end of it, you can, you know, share your scores with your friends. You can be competitive. And they actually are saying on the GeoGuessr Twitter that he's working on other type of competitive play options. And, like, there's this one scene on here where it's just showing, you know, a plain road with dirt around it, and you have to figure out where you are. So it's really...
Which is sadly what most of it looks like, most of Google Maps looks like, if you really think
like
about it.
Like that one that you're on right there, that picture?
Yeah.
To me, that I would put that in on the stretch of between Nevada and...
Let me look at this really big here. Does it say where it's at?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you have to use some educated. It's not in the flatlands because you see mountains in the background. So it's
that's what I'm saying. The stretch between Henderson and Las Vegas, not Henderson. There's a big stretch of road that actually runs from Phoenix to Las Vegas. Mm. And I've been there, and it looks just like it.
Mm-hmm. That could just easily be I-5, honestly.
That could be I-5. I don't know. Too bad you don't have smell-o-vision, because if you smell cow death, you know you're on the I-5. And you drive right past Cowschwitz.
I like games out of Google Maps, though. Things like that, I like those little like exploration games. There's so much cool shit on Google Maps. And to the Wii U's credit, that's one of the cool things I've enjoyed on the Wii U is that Google exploration thing where you can actually panorama around. It's
but
really
you know
fun.
What I would love to see? Is a Google Maps integrated where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Now that's awesome.
Now, couldn't you see that?
Yes.
And like you have to do the shop view to see if she's inside a place.
Oh, that's rad.
That okay, don't steal my ideas.
Patent pending.
You heard it here first. I'm going to be starting a Kickstarter tomorrow.
Except, wait a minute.
Hiring programmers.
You don't own Carmen Sandiego, so.
I'll be like, I'm going to be the star. I'll be, where the fuck is Jamie now?
There you go.
So.
When in doubt, change the star to yourself.
Yeah.
Great logic.
Yeah, it'll be like.
You know, we haven't had an OLR dream game in a while. Maybe that's something
so
we
that's
should
our new dream game, where the fuck is Jamie
Where
now?
The fuck is Jamie now?
Okay. I don't know.
What do you think, Loki?
If you were going to make this game realistic, it'd be in her pajamas at home.
I found her again. She's in the same spot.
She's at 7-Eleven buying Guinness again.
Click. No. I live in Citrus Heights. It's the Tower Mart.
Wait a minute. She's at Disneyland. Yep.
Woo!
She dragged Dan to a Starbucks saying, coffee.
No. We go to It's a Grind. Remember, that's near my house.
Sorry.
No.
Why don't you just give the listeners your address while you're at it?
You know what? If we were gonna do like places that I actually go to, it would be Disneyland, the Bravo Cheese Farms, and the computer room at my house in my pajamas, and maybe Becky's house.
Prince Brightstar in chat says needs a co-star Waldo type character. Well, that would be me.
We'll have to put you in the beanie. I don't know. If it was like a road trip locator thing, then we can have, you know, Loki building Grand Theft Auto maps.
Frisbee says, have you tried checking Pinkberry?
You know, I was the mayor of 3 Pinkberries.
I hate giving them all this free publicity, but that cookies and cream, oh my God.
I need to go.
Oh, so good.
Because I'm
so good.
I just haven't been given a fuck. We have It's at my house and M&M's, which I brought some here.
All right, anyway. Yeah. Loki, you have something besides where the fuck is Jamie now?
Yes. Let's talk about Google Play. Going back to mobile phone games again. Google Play Games is apparently something that leaked out thanks to the Android Police. Yes, that's actually a website. And it's from, I guess, a Play Services APK teardown. And what is Google Play Games? Well, it's basically their version of Game Center. It's got all sorts of wonderful features, including, you know, in-game chat. They're saying that cloud saves, achievements, leaderboards, invites, matchmaking, lobbies, all sorts of fun stuff. And that will be coming, I guess, soon. And maybe they're saying that it could be even revealed this week. I guess Google's I/O event is this week. Be interesting. I would be kind of interested to see if they're going to kind of translate this into almost like a console. I mean, it'd be interesting. I know Google.
Just what we need, another console.
We've already
got the big three. We've got the Ouya. Now we just had a report on this mobile phone console. It's like there's too many consoles. I do not want Google to make a console. I want Google to team up with somebody else, which who knows. Could Microsoft team up with Google? No, they don't. They're not really friends, right? But then again, to take out Apple, they might. Who knows?
I don't know. There's that Apple-Google rivalry. I think that they would form an axis to take down the mighty
Interesting.
Fruit.
You know, Apple hasn't announced anything in a while either. It's been a very long time. No new iPads.
They're
no
taking
new
a nap. They're taking a nap.
A little nap? A little napple?
An apple.
All right. Well, we know that... And Prince Brightstar in chat says, no love for PC. Well, a PC, I don't know if that's in reference to what I said. A PC, I don't really count as a console. But obviously, yes, all these games go on PC, too. I mean, and there's some things you can only get on PC, like World of Warcraft. Coming out soon is the PlayStation 4, which will be getting some games
well on Mac.
That were on PC. Well, sorry, yes. Yes, you can. PlayStation 4 is going to get Diablo 3, which to now is only on PC and Mac. But PlayStation 4 is going to have that share button where you can instantly share things to Facebook or whatever the PSN that's built in and so forth. But something about the share button that's coming out this week, Shuhei Yoshida, who is the president of Sony Worldwide Studios, noted in an interview with 4Gamer, which is a Japanese site, that the share button is limited to what developers will allow, which makes a lot of sense. You don't necessarily want people to be able to share everything. For example, you can, like on the Vita, you can have certain scenes disable this, so you could take a screenshot, and the share function might share the screenshot, but you might not be able to actually take a video of the entire final boss. So you wouldn't be able to like share the ending of the game 2 hours after the game launches, you know, something like that. So it makes sense. But what else I thought was interesting about the interview is that the video sharing function was inspired by the fact that Shuhei Yoshida wanted to play Dark Souls all day long. So he would watch videos of other people playing the game since he was too busy. And so that's where the share button came from, so that Dark Souls 3 or whatever ends up on the PlayStation 4, he'll be able to use the share button to watch other people play.
So he's a voyeur.
Maybe he likes to watch. Ooh. Well, he might like to watch, but we like to read. And every week you guys email us, mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. Dark Sakura ever so happily opens up the mailbag, dives in, and finds a few emails to read for you right now. Dark Sakura.
You know what? Every time I look at the mailbag, Eddie Izzard's voice goes into my head going, "It's all sticky!" So... Hi everyone at OLR, this is your friendly neighborhood Rageinator. Unfortunately, I do not have any gaming related topics this week, but I do...
Then bye.
Bye.
Just kidding.
Click. But I do have some good news to geek out over. You could... He's doing all this emphasis. Like, you could just italicize... Well, this thing doesn't read italics, does it? You could say I have some perfect news. As of 3:30 p.m. EDT, on Friday, 5/10/13, I am the proud as hell cat owner. Proud as all hell cat owner. I saw your kitty, and your kitty is cute. I'm sorry, I was very busy when you messaged me. I went to my local SPCA and adopted the most adorable 2-year-old male cat that the SPA named Anakin, who is mostly white with some black patches. I swear, this cat's back looks like a Rorschach test. It's awesome. You should name him Rorschach. But, you know, he might, you know, but when you beg him for mercy, you might just say, he might say no. I don't know.
He'll say meow.
Meow. He's extremely friendly and playful. Granted, due to the new environment, he's been hiding under my bed for a while, but I'm sure he'll warm up to my place. Smile, heart. I haven't had the opportunity to take his picture yet and upload it yet, but I'm working on it, and I hope he'll be comfortable enough around my place by Sunday evening when your show airs and you three take calls. That way the three of you get to see him. Now, I do like to propose a poll for your show. Do I keep Anakin as a cat's name, or do I name him after Booger, the character from Revenge of the Nerds movies? Still think you should name him Rorschach.
We're not polling it, because Anakin is a clear better name than Booger.
I don't know. I had a friend that had a cat named Booger. I told you about Dan's grandfather named his cats Hiss and Spit. And then I had a friend in high school that had a cat named Bitch. And I know someone now who has a cat named Asshole.
But Bitch is a dog.
Irony, Rob. Irony. It's very hipster, okay? Now, Rob, I'll let you finish. But I have to say that I have the greatest kitty ever. This email was brought to you by Fuzzy Wuzzy Kitties.
No, you don't. Come here, Sanrio. Sanrio.
Sanrio is under your bed.
Yeah, Sanrio hates people.
I love Midna so fucking much.
Midna is super fucking adorable. You should just rename your Tumblr Fuck Yeah Midna, because that's all it is.
It's not all it is.
What, you already have like 7 Tumblr accounts. What's one more? You need a Fuck Yeah Midna.
I actually made one for one of the fanfics I'm writing.
See?
But
how many Tumblr, how many Tumblrs do you have?
Fuck, hold on. I have my main, I have that one. I have Sleep Waking, which is my art. I have an art history Tumblr.
I barely have enough shit to post to one
political
Tumblr.
I have Mass Effecting, I have Mass Effecting.
I have one Tumblr. Hello, Robbie. If you want to follow me on Tumblr, hello, Robbie. Robbie.
Doodle. I have 7 Tumblrs.
Do you really?
I really do. But it's just...
I wasn't lying. I wasn't lying.
Jamie, this is an intervention.
That's right.
You know what? Bite me. I started making... Well, I did my art history blog just because I know not everyone gives a shit about De Steele and the Bauhaus movement, okay? So I made that one, and then Mass Effect started taking over my main one, so I made my Mass Effect blog and whatever. Don't judge me.
ActDev suggests name him Anagur, Anakin plus Booger. You know, I think...
Name him Rorschach.
Now, Alan obviously named the cats because they were already 10 years old by the time I got in the picture. But I believed when Alan named Maruko, I think that was two things combined like that. I think from what he told me. So,
okay. And actually, Queen Simia in chat says Holstein because he's colored like a cat.
All right, next email.
There's a cute kitty, though.
Too many cats, not enough games. Although, again, there's no such thing as too many cats.
No such thing. I was about to say, you know the rule. The internet is made for cats.
And porn.
But mostly cats.
And porn.
Cats. I see what you did there.
Cat porn?
Yeah.
I like pussy.
You know, don't get me started on the furry community. I actually really like fursuiters. I love the care and attention that go into the costumes. Mm-hmm. There's just some art I don't need to see. Mm-hmm. But they are welcome to draw it, and I just won't look at it. That's my approach toward any fandom. You can enjoy your fandom, enjoy your ship. I don't have to look at it.
Don't get me wrong. I like Muppets. I just don't like Muppets, you know?
Trust me. If it exists, someone has slashed it.
This is just the internet. Saying.
Okay. This is from, I'm just going to say Sam because I don't sign it. It's just Sam. Hello, OLR crew. I love the show.
Hi, Sam. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Rob. I say Nintendo should have checked with developers before the release of the Wii U to see if the console was good to go. Third-party devs have no obligation to make games for any system. Nintendo may have to support their own console this time around. Hey, Microsoft and Sony have also had their bad days. I think we have also made that point on the show. I do agree. Just because you have a system don't mean people's going to put shit on it. In the story. They ain't got time for that shit. So, last email?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, OLR crew. I wanted to tip my hat in along with Loki and Sky's complaints about Nintendo's game from episode 503. Both of you brought up perfectly valid points, and I want to bring up an issue, too, namely with Nintendo not putting enough content in their games to make them feel, quote, complete. For example, Wii Sports Resort was touted to be a major upgrade from the first Wii Sports. I don't own Wii Sports Resort, though after taking a look at the FAQ for it, I'm convinced it's just a small step up with all the new minigames included. I understand Wii Sports and other Nintendo games that typically star Miis are intended for casual audiences, but why won't Nintendo put in effort to toss in features aside from online multiplayer, like your Mii having stats that affect gameplay or a complete fleshed out tournament mode? Not only would these features appeal to core players, it would give the casuals a sense of progress and an enticing reason to come back to the game. I actually agree with that. That would have kept me playing it instead of, I hit the ball, her.
I really wish Nintendo would, it just pisses me off. Nintendo needs to steal some people from Microsoft or even Sony that get online better, that get the enhanced value of it. It just pains me that Nintendo won't try to advance the social aspect of gaming online. But then again, They made buku bucks off of party games. So, you know what? Whatever works for them, right?
Well, it's also Nintendo, which I think still refuses to... It's like they put... We're not crossing the line. We're not crossing the line. We'll touch the line, but we aren't crossing it. We do things our way. We do things the Miyamoto way. You know? I also believe my beef with Nintendo applies to some of the flagship games, too. New Super Mario Bros. U only unlocks one extra world after you beat the game, whereas Super Mario 3D Land put up another 8 whole worlds that are substantially tougher. Substantially. I'm all tongue-tied. And how many people know that the upcoming Super Luigi U DLC only allows 100 seconds per stage? Hearing that gives me the impression Nintendo is being cheap by not offering stages of standard length. Well, we do like it long. OLR crew, please cheer me up by answering this question. What are some of the games you've invested an assload of time into? Mass Effect.
Stay mad. I'm just kidding. I'll answer. What's the rest of it?
I personally sunk somewhere over 2,000 hours into Phantasy Star Online a few years ago, And more recently, I played The Binding of Isaac for over 600 hours. Stay fresh, everyone, and don't be a kudwafter. Spelled like the type that cows chew.
Yeah. Instead of kudwafter.
Kudwafter. That's like going to be my favorite game name ever.
Game,
and that's from the Nasty Canasta.
Which I have one of my favorite listener names, by the way. Because I always just imagine a game of like Strip Canasta, like the card game. But anyway.
Strip Canasta?
Because it's Nasty Canasta. You know the card game? All right, forget it.
I know.
All right. It's like Dirty Pinochle.
Penile Pinochle?
That's like your sister or brother would be Dirty Pinochle. anyway, what was the question? You didn't even ask for that.
Fuck, I just closed it.
What game have you
sunk a lot of time into?
World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. Final Fantasy XI, and insert MMO here. Mass Effect 3, a disgusting amount with a multiplayer, has really enhanced that.
I'm actually going to be starting over on the whole series again. I am going to keep Dramamine by my computer mm-hmm. and play through the first Mass Effect again, because I love the story in it best of any of them. Mm-hmm. But I get so damn motion sick. Mm. I turn off the film grain. I turn off the wiggle, whatever, the motion blur. Still get sicker than anything on the stupid Mako missions.
What about you, Loki? Grand Theft Auto?
Grand Theft Auto.
Probably Alien Defense Force, probably, Earth Defense Force.
Yeah, Earth Defense Force, Saints Row. I'm even Call of Duty a bit because we played it for multiplayer, but I don't play a ton of that. Probably Grand Theft Auto 4. It's a lot of fun. I don't know.
I actually, it's funny that I was talking to Dan about me playing Ragnarok Online 2 because, you know, he's like, well, you only played the first one for 10 years, which is true. Something like that. Well, I played Ragnarok Online since it was in the Japanese beta, because I started playing it in Japanese, and then I moved over to IRO when they opened the beta here, and then I played through paid IRO, and then I went to free servers. You know, I'm actually one of the few people that would still have my original account intact because I was a beta tester.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was another one that ate a lot of my time.
Civilization 1. I played a disgusting amount of that on PC.
I'm not surprised at all.
All right. More emails, or was that it?
That was it.
Mailbag at orangeloungeradio.com.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't even say this. I would play Super Street Fighter 2 on my SNES like all the time. I would have people over like, we're gonna play games, we're not playing Super Street Fighter 2, and it's like, okay, Kirby's Avalanche. But those were my two SNES day
good times.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the FUs of the week.
Dark Soccer.
I have a few FUs because I have been carrying quite a bit of angst this past week. FU number one goes to my stupid allergies. I have developed a wheat allergy, and Dan brought me donuts last night, and I was like, donuts, I'll eat the hell out of those. Nope, stick. And then to plane ticket costs, because, okay, get this. New Orleans is a much bigger airport than Gulfport, right? But it would have cost me another, like, $75 to $100 to fly into New Orleans, which I wouldn't do anyway because it's 3 hours from Mobile, whereas Gulfport's like an hour and a half. And if I had flown into Mobile, it would have bumped up my plane ticket almost another $300 because it's so much smaller. And then I was thinking, well, you know what? If I stay a full 2 weeks, you know, arrive on a Tuesday, leave on a Tuesday, yeah, that's going to be a lot better for my cost. No. I'm leaving on a Thursday. If I had stayed till Tuesday the following week, it would have bumped my ticket up by like another $150. It's stupid. It is completely stupid how much plane tickets cost. And then all the shit you have to go through when you get to the
And $50 to check in a bag and all that crap too.
Oh my God. You know what? I seriously looked at Amtrak, but it would have taken me a week to get there. And as much as I would love to ride the train, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
I even paid an extra $35 so that I could get the shortest flight possible, because the flights it wanted to give me at the lowest price possible were something like 10 hours, including two layovers. And I was like, at the moment I see the Atlanta airport on there, I'm like, no. Atlanta airport is like the bane of my existence.
Hey, don't tell me this, because I have to fly to Atlanta for Dragon Con.
It is, no, Rob, just one awesome thing, though, is the never-ending escalator that just goes up. You cannot see the end of it for, like, an hour.
I refuse to believe anything is worse than the Philadelphia airport.
Thankfully, I've not done the Philadelphia airport.
It's pretty bad.
But I still think to this day my favorite airport for layout would have to be Burbank.
Oh, I love Burbank.
Burbank's so easy.
Burbank, yeah. That's what I always call it.
Or, believe it or not, Dallas-Fort Worth is actually a really well-laid-out airport. And you can get rides on the little golf carts.
Like, let's talk about airports.
No. All right. Okay, and then my last one. I use this with a disclaimer. I love my kitten. My baby is so sweet. But she had claws on her and clawed the crap out of my leg. She was pouncing my feet. Like, I'd walk by, pounce. And then she decided that she was going to claw up my calf. So finally we sat her down. And then she, Dan's, holding her. And I'm trying to clip her little claws. And she's wiggling and moving her paws out of the way. And making the most god-awful noise. It was like this.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, that noise. And I'm like, Mimi. And then she runs off. And the first thing, you know what she does once I'm done with her? The first thing she does is goes into her room, looks at her bowl, and says, "You're giving me a treat, woman." So I did.
All right. Loki.
I guess F you to McDonald's for not getting orders correct.
Fair enough. Is that it? Yeah. All right. My F you of the week goes to the scale for telling me the truth. Next time, lie to me and make me feel better about myself, asshole. All right, let's get to a couple more news stories, and then we're going to open up the Skype line. But first, Loki.
So he has gotten some more funding, not necessarily from Kickstarter, but from some outside investors, including NVIDIA, actually. NVIDIA is investing money in Luia, as well as the Mayfield Fund, Shasta Ventures, and the OCAM Partners, who I have no fucking clue who they are, but... yeah, so they've got another $15 million, which will help them launch retail. Speaking of which, their retail launch, as I expected, was delayed to June 25th, as opposed to June 4th, because there's no fucking way they would ever hit that target with how fast they're shipping, the Kickstarter backers, and then on top of that, the people that pre-ordered on Ouya.tv. So, and they say they have 12,000 developers who have registered to make an Ouya game. So that's not necessarily 12,000 games that are out there, but 12,000 people that are possibly going to make a game. So, I don't know. They claim they're ahead of schedule, but I don't buy it.
How much did you play your Ouya this week?
For a little bit. I don't remember how long it was, though, but I checked out... What did I check out this week? I downloaded this frog game that's supposed to be pretty fun. I played more of the Pingu Puzzle Poker, which I probably maybe write a review on that at some point. I don't know. I don't want to yet because it's still like beta. It's not the finished game, so you don't want to do that. I know I played some. I just downloaded some more stuff. I don't really remember playing any other games. There's a few I tried that were kind of lame, but I don't remember exactly where they were. Still haven't played Final Fantasy III.
That's all right. All right. Anyhow, moving on to one more story tonight, and this is about a comment from Bobby Kotick, who is the CEO of Activision, and saying in an earnings call this week where they were talking about the loss of WoW subscribers and so forth, but this isn't about PC stuff or WoW. This is about console. This is about the new consoles, Xbox, Lube, Infinity, 720, whatever you want to call it.
Lubefinity,
and the PlayStation 4. Quote, "There are still many unknown factors such as pricing, launch dates, and quantities, the level of first-party support, and, importantly, consumer purchase intent in a world where consoles are no longer just competing with each other, but also with new platforms such as smartphones and tablets." He also went on to say that Wii U had a, quote, "very slow start, and uncertainties in the next year could impact the performance of Activision overall." So
far, no Call of Duty Ghosts on Wii U either.
I
think, it's a very big possibility. I think, though, it's less going to be, I have a smartphone and tablet, I can play these games on here, which no one's actually thinking that. But I think it's more of, why do I need to buy a next-gen console? Because Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out right then. Yep. Or, hey, I want to play Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty Ghosts. Hey, guess what? Those are both on current-gen consoles. Or Assassin's Creed, you know, Black Flag. Oh, current-gen consoles. You know, or Watch Dogs, current-gen as well. So it's like, why do I need to buy a new console for these?
And they're going to have to figure out this whole, what am I going to do with another console, you know, when I want to play all the old games and they're not backwards compatible.
They showed footage of Black Flag on the PlayStation 4. You can't tell the difference. I mean, you can't tell the difference between the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 version of that game. I'm sure it's other, like, simulation, like, physics stuff in there, but I don't know. I can't really tell much of a difference.
I lost my train of thought.
Maybe first party games. I don't know. You know, that might help because I mean they're gonna have some exclusive first party stuff, but that's once again it kind of sells systems.
Remembered what I was gonna say. There's rumors about this new Xbox, whatever it's called, that there's an HDMI pass through port on it. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Where you know you'll be able to save an HDMI thing because you can use the pass through port. Wouldn't it be funny if that only worked with a 360? Because they could do that, right? They could say, yeah, it's got an HDMI pass-through port, but it will only work with the 360. It's an encrypted port or whatever. And a patch on the 360 will make it so that this is how we're going to solve the issue of backwards compatibility. You can patch your 360 through to expand the unit, but it only works. It won't, like, you can't use the PlayStation 3. You can only use the 360. Wouldn't that be funny? Of course, they wouldn't necessarily openly say that, but...
Nah, I don't think they could even do... They don't do that. In fact, actually, they don't really have an encrypted HDMI. It's PlayStation 3 that does. In fact, if you try to do video capture through HDMI, you can't do that on the PlayStation 3. You can only do that on the 360. And I think you might be able to do it on the PlayStation 3 up to a certain, maybe not 1080p, but I know you can't do 1080p through HDMI on the PS3. I don't see him doing that. And even it's still going to be very awkward with like another console sitting next to your console, you know, to do backwards compatibility. Just don't worry about it and just say, you know what? We're going to drop the price of the 360. You have a 360. You don't need to sell it. You know, you can just keep on, you know, hold on to it and play your games on that. I don't really know. I'm sure they'll have a solution for it at some point. It's not, I don't see it as that big a deal because I'm not really going to get rid of my 360. I'll just have another console.
MM2K in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, I think next gen's coming out a year too early. You know, I'm starting to think so too. You know, and when these systems first came out, they started talking about this whole, like, you know, 10-year cycle. Da, da, da. I kind of think maybe it's too early.
It might be. We may have a, you know, Wii U situation where it's just, hey, there's the launch titles and not a whole ton. I still think we're going to see some more. I think we're going to see more third-party games, but I think it's going to be a lot of this. It's on PS4 and it's on PS3 because they're worried that, oh, well, we may not make up the sales on just a PlayStation 4 exclusive game. I think that's going to be a real big issue is you're going to say, well, especially if the Assassin's Creed thing. I mean, I'm sure it looks similar to the PC version, well, probably exactly like the PC version, but I haven't seen the PS3 version running next to the PS4 version, so I can't say that it's like night and day. But it doesn't look, from what they showed, it doesn't look night and day. Based off the trailers, it looks exactly the same. But, I mean, I think the trailers are captured off of the PC, so, you know, that's not a surprise there.
All right. Well, let's open up the Skype line, guys. That's the last we have on our list for the show tonight. But what do you guys want to talk about? 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. I just got an email on my little emails from Joe from earlier in the show thanking us for having him on. So that was a fun interview. If you missed the interview earlier, be sure to download it on the podcast feed or check it out on a streaming solution like Stitcher or TuneIn, one of your favorite apps there. Again, 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you'd like to give us a call and say hello and talk about whatever's going on in your mind this week. All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
My name is Zaku here.
Hey, Zaku.
Hi.
We see you.
How's everyone? How's everything going?
Good, good. Now we see you in studio. It's like you're here. What's up?
Nothing much. Just catching up on some post Mother's Day gaming. Mm-hmm. Dug up my old PS2 to play some San Andreas after like a 3-year hiatus.
some classics. You know, my Grand Theft Auto 4 is still in the shrink wrap, apparently.
I can't believe you just call that a classic, Rob.
It is, isn't it?
It's
have you not 10 played years Grand old. Theft
I mean, you're talking about like a game that's almost a decade old. That's kind of classic.
Wait, what?
Even like, Grand 3 Theft Auto and Vice 4? City are pretty much classic at this point.
Dude, you haven't played Grand Theft Auto 4. Go play Grand Theft Auto 4.
I think I did a little bit. I don't remember. If I did, it was a long time ago when it first came out.
You need to play that.
Alan's playing.
At the very
least,
you need to play. If you're going to participate in the VOG gaming night this week, you do need to play past the first few missions, I think, in order to get the multiplayer options.
I'll figure it out.
I got really far in GTA 4, and then I lost my 360 copy, so now I have to start again from my PC, the one that I have on Steam. So,
Wouldn't it be funny, though, Loki, if I started playing and I got totally addicted to it?
It's awesome. It seriously is.
I do like hoes. I hear there's lots of hoes in Grand Theft Auto 4.
No, Rob, you like ho-hos. That's different.
Hey, you're calling me fat.
No. All
right. Sorry, Zaku. So you're playing San Andreas.
Yeah, just catching up on that. And basically, you know, trying to juggle my queue. But I digress. I guess part of what I wanted to bring up was the fact that, the whole next gen issues with some of the folks who are a part of it, like Nintendo, basically bet the whole barn on the Wii U, and so far it's like EA's pushing back. Activision may, as you've already stated, maybe on its way out. So it pretty much goes to the point where did Nintendo like intended for this to be a Hail Mary because they were getting outgunned by the fact that the Wii was like so far behind this current gen?
Yes, but there's a part of me that wonders if it's not a bridge console. And I threw that idea out because they invested so much in this gamepad and it wasn't just like the same type of stuff you saw on the Wii. I think if we had just seen literally a quote-unquote Super Wii, it would have been more of a bridge console, which is what I honestly thought we were going to get. And then when we got the gamepad, I was like, oh, maybe not. But now I'm starting to wonder again. Whether intended or not, Nintendo may have to, and I still think it's too early to say. I still think it's way too early to say. We don't know what this holiday is going to really look like. Nintendo could put out those must-have games and sell fuck tons of those consoles, and you may see new Xbox and PlayStation in hot water because they don't quite have that same thing. I don't know. It's too early to say.
On the other hand, the word on the street is that Microsoft actually at the last minute, they're actually going to it looks like they're going to ditch the whole always online requirement. And
funny how that happened.
It works in their favor in the sense that Sony basically was forced to, since the fact that they went early, it makes it easier due to the fact that you're going to, you spread all these rumors around and then you create this atmosphere where, we're not going to go through our competition's console because such and such always requires Y. And then all of a sudden they could just go in at the very last minute and announce, all the things, pretty much dispel every rumor that's been going on for almost the past year. And they could pretty much be on par, if not slightly above, going into E3.
They mm-hmm. could do that, but they probably won't.
On the other hand, think about it. You're almost from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much the same, almost the same console. They're all going to be running Blu-rays. They're all going to have 8 gigs of RAM, although one of them may require more things than others. But if the rumors end up becoming true where they like ditch online, then that might just bring around some of the folks who are on the fence, who pretty much didn't abandon Sony.
I am...
But at the same time, they pretty much had the thoughts that, if they had... They had to go on and defend this lipstick on a pig by, making sure by defending always online, then yeah, it would have been swayed to Sony. But if by E3 Microsoft basically, pulls what they have to, and they could pretty much be neck and neck. It's almost like an election where, you try to blackball the other guy, you try to throw mud, and then all of a sudden you dispel rumors, and then you do something. You do an event where you're pretty much even in the polls. That's how I think of it. Like I see it is like
so. Wait,
certain
you think Nintendo or Sony started that rumor about Microsoft always being online?
I'm thinking it's Microsoft themselves. I mean, this is coming from their developer, from not only like, you know, from third party devs that managed to get their hands on the early dev kits.
Here's the
and thing, especially that guy that the product manager that you know opened his mouth on Twitter. That didn't help.
Zaku,
they're doing damage control.
Here's the thing about Nintendo, Zaku. I am not willing to write them off yet until... Because if they price drop at E3, the game is afoot again. It's a whole new game, level 2. But, you know, it's 3DS all over again if they price drop at E3, which is highly likely, I think.
But at the same time, it's starting to shape up like a two-horse race at this point with Microsoft and Sony. And the fact that, you know, Microsoft has to, like, improve their quote-unquote phone number.
Will it, though? Will it be a two-horse race? Because now we're seeing that, you know, people might just keep what they got to play Grand Theft Auto V and Call of Duty Ghosts and all these other games. Why? This may be a no-horse race. Generation. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's all it is. It's just like, you're right. There is an argument to be made to keep what you currently have in this generation. Hell, I'm not even, like, only almost half a year into my PS3 right there that my girl got me this past Christmas. So it's still fresh to me knowing the fact that I had like my other platforms to juggle before the PS3. So I'm still chewing on that. So may I get, you know, will I be getting one of those new consoles? Not likely. Not yet. Usually I just wait a while.
Most likely, because I'm a consumer whore. But
going into this next gen, it might be a two-horse race.
All right. Well, we will see. Let's have this conversation again after E3 and see what happens.
Speculation right now.
All right. All right, Zaku, I'm going to let you go to get more calls. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. All right. I think, you know, it's just, he's right. It's all speculation right now. At least that part, he's right. It's all speculation right now. It's way too early to say. Talk to us after May 21st. In fact, I think, wasn't that the Memorial Day weekend where we were thinking about not having a show?
That's when I'm gone.
You're not going to be here. Yeah. I don't know. We might have to do something that week.
I'll be here.
If not that night. You'll be here? We might have to do something because that's right after the Xbox announcement. We got to talk about something, even if Dark Soccer can't be here that night. She doesn't care about Xbox anyway, right? All right.
X what?
Exactly. Hi, on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Rob, it's a trumpet.
Oh my God! Bobby's on webcam and he's actually got his cartridge. That's awesome.
Hey, it's Bob. A trumpet, Rob.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
What's on your mind, Bobby?
I just wanted to tell you it was a trumpet.
I thought it was a drumstick with you.
Well, that one, there's no drumsticks in anticipation. It's a trumpet.
I think there was a drum. If I remove,
no, because I would have played as the drum.
No, not the piece, the little drawings. Oh, yeah. Let me do a little drawing. All right.
And when you put that game up to very hard, it's like it would like draw one line and the computer would come in and be like, oh, it's an elephant. And I'm like, how did you know it was an elephant?
Because the computer always cheats.
Yeah, so I always played on very easy and I whooped the computer's ass and I felt better about myself.
And that's what it's about. It's about knowing that you kicked that ice cream cone into oblivion.
That's right.
Bobby?
Yes.
I do wish you a happy anniversary of your hatching.
Thank you.
Ah, yes. I hope you heard the birthday embarrassment at the beginning of the show. Since
I did.
I neglected to say it on your show tonight like a fool.
That's right. I was hoping you would forget. And your discretion was appreciated.
I was too hypnotized by the music of Professor Shy Guy, who was fun on your show. It's been Kickstarter night on Vogue tonight.
Yes.
So yeah,
everybody check that out because of that. He's a great guy. I've actually seen him perform before, and he was the person playing when GLaDOS made me get on a dance floor.
Oh, okay. I remember that story. Oh, now that all ties together because I know he was talking about Ellen McClain, who is a confirmed guest of Gamer X. So maybe maybe I will finally get to meet her in August at that whole thing. I'm excited about that.
And then you can name drop me and she'll be like, oh yeah, I remember him.
I will absolutely name drop you. I'll be like, yeah, we're on the same network. Yeah, good times. So hopefully.
And then we may get Professor Shy Guy at Dragon Con.
Awesome.
For our thing.
I know. I know. We got a lot of conventions coming up. Are you getting excited about E3 only a few weeks away?
Not yet. It takes a while. Uh-huh. Like it's like right before it is because right now it's like I'm getting all the invites to things. So it's like now I'm trying to figure out what I want to schedule and what I don't want to schedule. And so, yeah, I'm playing all that game right now.
I'm still waiting to hear back from the E3 Pope, but that's my own fault for waiting so long to do it. But, you know, it is what it is. But at least we're going to Disneyland.
Yes. Yes. I've already got my plane tickets, and we'll be going. Anybody else going to join us on that?
It might just be me. I don't know. I would love to drag Dark Sakura, but I don't know if she's going to be game. We'll see.
Well, I will always go to Disneyland when I can, but I am the unemployed.
Here's the thing. It also depends on if I get blessed by the E3 Pope or not. If I do, then it will definitely only be you and me. But if I don't, then that opens up the opportunity that I can be like, hey, you don't have to sit around while I'm at a convention center all day. Let's go to Disneyland for a day or two. So we'll find out that answer this week. Better be this week. So we'll see.
So yeah, so I just wanted to tell you that it was a trumpet. And
all right.
Plug Professor Shy Guy's Kickstarter as well as the Zelda movie Kickstarter, because I actually, the thing about with Joe, and I'm not going to like give details or anything, I actually do know what he's going to be doing with the movie. I know the narrative and what the movie, and it's really an interesting take on documentaries is what he's doing. But he is, and he told me that, and then he later specifically said, yeah, don't tell people that yet. Like, let that be a surprise. And I almost spilled the beans at one point. So, you know, I that's why I'm backed it. So I actually have put my money where my mouth is if it gets backed. And I think other people should back it. And he's coming back up to Atlanta, and I'm going to go down there and, you know, be a part of the filming there.
Well, apparently he loves Sacramento, so he can come back on the show when he comes in person.
Yeah, and I think he is coming. Like, he said Sacramento is one of the places.
Wow.
That he may be traveling to.
I will have to go check it out.
So,
what the hell goes on here? Maybe Sac Anime is getting huge out here.
Sac Anime has been growing, and there's another convention that started up, I want to say in Rockland.
Yeah, so who knows?
Well, he's actually visiting like actual people that did things. Like, the reason he came up to Atlanta is because The Hero of Time was filmed here.
Oh, okay.
And those creators were here, and there were a couple other people that were big in the Zelda community that, listening to his interview, he may have actually had to drop their involvement for legal reasons, but they were here in Atlanta. And so, like, when he came into Atlanta, he actually was here to talk to, like, three different Zelda fan groups that were all based in Atlanta. And he's coming back because the Symphony of the Goddesses is performing in Atlanta, and he's going to do some follow-up stuff with them. And do some more follow-up stuff with some of the other Atlanta people as well. So that he's kind of more meeting the people rather than really going to conventions. He's just now starting to go to conventions, but he's also might be at Dragon Con as well.
Sure. Makes sense. All right. Well, Bobby, anything else you want to plug or talk about while you're here?
No. You guys may want to tune in June 2nd during our shows.
For a little something something.
Dot dot dot.
Dot dot dot. Exactly. To be continued.
To be continued.
All right. What would June 2nd mark the 1 year anniversary of? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
All right, Bobby. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
June 2nd, 2012.
Yeah.
Maybe the 1 year anniversary of that. That day is.
Oh, shut up, Logie. All right. I'm gonna let you go, Bobby. Take care.
All right,
bye. Always a pleasure to talk to Bobby Blackwolf. He's always good enough to have us on his show every week, so it's always nice when we can return the favor. 1-877-GAME-OLR, our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. I want to do Twitter topics, too. I'm like, where's my iPad? Oh, it's in the iCade, so let me just get that out of there.
You know what? You don't even have to lift that thing to get it out.
Oh, I always do.
Yeah, I've fingers.
You saying I should just finger it a little bit?
Yeah, you need to finger it, Rob.
All right, I will. I'll finger it next time. All right, before we get to last-minute stories of Loki, let's try to take at least one more call here tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Hi, Act Deft. How you doing?
Really fine. And you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to just say that I backed up the Zelda Kickstarter.
Oh, hey. Hey, I'm glad to hear our show is helping and that it actually does help spread the word. What made you decide to pitch in and help?
Well, I already had read Bobby's article on Box, so I pretty much had the intention of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But, interviewing the guy, John, I think, he pretty much has a great idea here. His project seems like a really, really interesting thing to do, especially for something that many people like Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
So, and something that he probably mentioned that really strike me like really good, it's that Like, for example, you're here because of video games. And one of them was Zelda. And you were inspired by video games to do your show. Not to mention Bobby and many other shows on Bog and other podcasts out there.
That is very
not
true.
To mention me, that I do the I Love That Song articles on Bog. Mm-hmm. It all, well, video games and video game music inspire me to do that. So, yeah, I do have Zelda in part to think of that. So I really want to see more of the fans rather than just the history of Zelda in its creation. I want to see how people were affected by this game.
Now, of course, in some ways, I think this particular show, you would have to credit Dance Dance Revolution and Beatmania a little more so. But I mean, the honest reality is, would I have ever played those games or been into gaming in the first place if it wasn't for the great classic 8-bit games that kind of paved the way? I don't know. And certainly Zelda played an influence in that. So it's, you know, it's I liked his answer to that question a lot, too. It kind of made me go, oh, yeah, that's true. You know, there is a lot of inspiration for what I'm doing every Sunday night that comes from games like Zelda. And so forth.
Yeah, and I really want to see this project finished or at least backed up.
Mm-hmm.
It has a long way to go. But I think that if people understand what the meaning of this project is, and not necessarily think, oh, it's gonna be about Zelda and. Oh my God! They're gonna profit off Nintendo.
Yeah, or
do something wrong with it.
Or
I don't think that's the matter.
Maybe the instant assumption that it's gonna get shut down is a little bit silly too. I mean, if it was gonna get instantly shut down, I think it would have been already. And I think again, you know, you look at something like King of Kong. Donkey Kong was a Nintendo game too, and it happened. So you know, there's ways he can do it, and he sounds like he's got his. What did he say? He's dotting his lowercase J's or whatever he said. That you know, he's got it explored with the legal team and so forth. He's ready to fight for his movie if he has to a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think he has any legal problems, at least because of the material.
Mm-hmm,
so it isn't like he's taking explicit Nintendo property
right
to for profit or something like that. So I think he's gonna be fine in that sense. The fans, and that's what I'm worried about. But like I said, if they understand the meaning behind this project and understand what it is exactly, I think that it will get a higher response.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's part of the reason why we had him on the show tonight, to kind of get people talking and more people looking, and you know, maybe even if just a couple folks friend the thing on Facebook and then share it with their friends, that's going to be exposure to possibly, you know, thousands more people that didn't see it before, possibly. So it's a lot of it is about getting the word out. So we'll see what happens. But I do plan on backing it myself, that and the Professor Shy Guy one. I'll give him some money too. I think that was pretty cool. So, all right.
Yeah, that project too seems pretty good to back up too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ActDeft, any other quick thoughts before I let you go?
Nothing more. I send you a Twitter topic. I don't know if you read it already.
I am looking at it right now, but since you brought it up, I'll go ahead and talk about it with you here. Let's see. You tweeted us and it says, Skullgirls items for Team Fortress 2, they are up on the Steam Workshop for fans to vote and approve so they can be pre-order items. So what sort of items do we have to look forward to?
They're basically hats and you know what, for TF2.
Of course.
They look pretty cool. They're pretty well designed.
It wouldn't be Team Fortress if there weren't hats.
These items actually were rewards for the Indiegogo they had for the DLC characters and the PC version. But Valve said to tell to them that they had to approve first of the items and then see if they can release them as pre-order incentives. Though now they have like the not a green light, but basically that fans have to approve of the items so they can be put as incentives of pre-orders. Mm-hmm. And also the backers of the project of them.
All right. Well, check that out at the on the Steam store in the community section. And lots of cool add-ons for games out there. I really love how Steam's been expanding that. You know, I love me some Mass Effect civs in Civ 5. So, all right. Well, ActDaft, going to let you go so I can get these other Twitter topics and wrap up the show. But have a good one, buddy, okay?
You too.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, I'm going to close up the Skype line for now. Sorry if you didn't get through tonight, but remember, you can always email us, mailbag@orangelaundryradio.com, or you can tweet us, and I'll get to last-minute stories here in a minute, Loki, but first, I thought I'd quickly go through these Twitter topics. SSJ100 Matt tweeted us about ESPN ranked the best sports video games of all time. Here are the top five. WWF No Mercy, number five. MVP Baseball, 2005, number four. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, number three.
Yeah.
NHL 94, number two. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Tecmo Super Bowl, number one. Clearly. Yeah. Clearly. I mean, you can't
you
argue
know what?
With that.
I still liked Super High Impact.
Also, this list is badly needing. Now, I don't see if there was maybe a 6 through
there
10.
There are no Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel is not here. And NBA Jam. Which I think would have been a worthy addition is not here.
Depending on the version of NBA Jam, because there are some
not the new
shitty
one. Not
versions.
The new one.
Well, if you want like the hardest home version ever, you want to look for the PlayStation Tournament Edition.
How much is the original arcade version? That's the one I would do.
Mm. Mm.
So okay, very interesting. But I'm okay with Tecmo Super Bowl being number one. And you know the even though I don't play a lot of sports video games, I think it says a lot that I think I have played at least three, if not four, of the games on that list. So I think that says a lot as to why they are the top five. Some other tweets here from Tiger Claw. Defiance, the TV show. Tiger Claw tweets us saying Defiance was renewed for a second season. That shocked the hell out of me because this is a sci-fi show, isn't it?
Yeah.
I actually downloaded the first four episodes to watch. I haven't watched them yet because shit's been happening.
I think quite a few people have been watching it. So
yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about it.
I did read over the Wikipedia article on it, and it actually seemed really interesting.
I watched on Netflix three episodes of Scandal last night, which has nothing to do with sci-fi, but I bet Nelly would watch Scandal because it's by the chick who does Grey's Anatomy, which I'm almost embarrassed to say I watched it, but it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, Loki.
I still
want
to know what the
Scandal's
thing is
pretty good.
No.
With Nelly and her Tyra Banks obsession.
It's not all the crappy McSteamy stuff from Grey's Anatomy, though. Like, this is about, like, you know, this...
She's on the last season
is
of
she?
Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, is she?
She's finishing up, the last season, or this season.
Oh, this season is the last season.
Yeah, the last season that she can watch.
All right. One more tweet from Tiger Claw, and this is about a Capcom promotion for Resident Evil. Filling a pool with blood and gore. Well, you know this came from the UK marketing department. It was the first blood-filled swimming pool. Good Lord. It's going to have 55,000 gallons of water, and I'm using the little quotey fingers, featuring...
With corn syrup and red food coloring.
I'm sure. Fake human torsos as flotation devices, intestines as lane markers, and all kinds of gruesome objects floating in the water. The event is near London's Olympic Stadium, but not actually there. That would be weird. It will be that you can get the tickets for free on Monday, May 20th, but only 200 are given out each day leading up to the pool's opening on May 25th and 26th weekend, Memorial Day weekend, although I guess maybe that's not a thing in the UK. If you're under 18, you need to have a parent. Whatever. That sounds whack.
You know what? Really, there's nothing quite like bathing in the blood of fresh virgins.
Well, now you can.
But only if it's real blood. And it actually is really, really good softener for your skin. Just saying, a facial made out of the blood of your
enemies. That would be concerning if it was real blood. This is just stupid.
No, that's just... Well, the meat market thing was stupid, too.
Yeah.
It's just like, really?
Why is it always UK stuff?
Really?
Always. Sorry.
Because if they did it over here...
I mean, then again...
I mean no disrespect to our overseas friends, but y'all are crazy.
But then again, you do know that the Scottish diet was built on a dare, right?
I bet it was Dutch influence. I bet Syl had something to do with this. I'm blaming the Dutch.
I don't blame the Dutch. Just, I don't know, any place where, you know, blood
and
pudding...
And I'm half Dutch.
...where black pudding is served regularly, I don't know.
All right, Loki, any last-minute stories?
No, unfortunately, I don't have any last-minute stories because I'm busy cramming to write an article that will be on the website tomorrow, so, you know, and I just realized, hey, you know what? I'm not a very good writer, so...
It's challenging.
It is very challenging.
I could be your editor.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. We don't have time for multiple editors.
You've got.
It's write and send to somebody.
I'll talk to you off air. There's always plans. All right. Anyhow, so if there's no last minute stories, then I guess it is time to wrap up the show, which is fine because it's about 9 o'clock anyway. Let's go around and wrap up. Thank you guys all for listening and tuning in tonight. Remember, if you like the show, please help spread the word about the show. Give us a nice 5-star review on iTunes or a thumbs up, and support independent podcasting. You know, there's a lot of indie broadcasters out there that work very hard at what they do, and we really need your support. You know, not all of us can just, you know, snap our fingers and have people pouring money onto us. And I'm not asking for your money, but we don't have that luxury where, you know, we can do that and just have money poured onto us to buy promotion and other things for our show. We're not afforded that luxury in the independent community. So word of mouth is so important. So all we ask, we're not asking for your money. We're just asking for your word of mouth. Tell a friend about the show. Help grow our community, because community is our motivator. And the more motivation we have, the better. Meanwhile, we'll go around and get everybody's final thought. And why don't I start with you, Loki? What's your final thought tonight?
My final thought is be sure to check out our VOD Gaming Night Thursdays, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't know if it's going to stay on that day, but maybe. I think that's the most convenient day. It doesn't conflict with anybody else. I know it's a little bit late on the East Coast and beyond. But this week, Grand Theft Auto 4 on Xbox 360. If you don't want to play that game on 360, be sure to go to our forums and let me know what game you do want to play. And we can try to work that in, because I've been asking and no one's been saying anything except for Bobby. And which is kind of shocking to see Bobby recommend Grand Theft Auto. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's because he wants you to show off your elite skills. He's hoping to learn a thing or two.
Oh, I'll climb some skyscrapers.
I bet you will. My final thought is I would like to play Where the Fuck is Jamie Now? Oh, but she's right here at my table.
You win!
Yay!
Here, have some trail mix.
That stuff is addicting. Damn you.
I just threw it together.
Damn you, coconut. I'm trying to lose weight, not gain it. All right.
You know what? The coconut is actually not very sweet.
And super fatty. All right.
It's good for you. Eat it.
It's a trumpet, Jamie. It's a trumpet.
No, it's not. It's actually Reese's Pieces.
Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight.
My cat is insane, and she doesn't know what is right. No, seriously, I think that, is it a full moon or something? Because Midna has been completely apeshit. I have no idea, but I'm probably going to go home and get pounced again, so who knows what's going to happen. Also, I am doing a live streaming Mass Effect 3 with my really shitty but sometimes funny commentary from 5 to 8. Pacific time on my Twitch TV channel.
I need to do some streaming. I feel left out. Maybe I'll stream tonight.
You know what? We should do a post-Horde House multiplayer.
That is...
I will drink.
That is probably a possibility.
We should make Shane drink and I'll drink and we'll both be dunk.
I don't think Shane's going to drink for like another 5 years after what happened the other night. Which I think, sadly, I think the archive video has probably already gone off Twitch TV and we didn't export any of it, but it was good times. So, all right, that's it, guys. We're going to close up shop and get out of here tonight. Thanks again for tuning in and supporting us. We will be back next week. Next week is the 19th. Yeah, so we will all be here next week for another show. And we will see you then, live or in podcast form. Either way you chose to support us this week, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.